McCoy at the 10, at the 5, into the end zone. Touchdown! What a great run! Fires down the middle. It is intercepted by Micah Hyde! Intercepted! Tre Day! Tre'Davious White! He's in trouble. He is sacked. Jordan Poyer came unblocked. It is Jerry Hughes who brings him down. What a big play there! Poy, cuts to the right. Outrunning everybody! 10, 5, touchdown! Touchdown! Touchdown, Buffalo!
Live from One Bills Drive, this is the John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts.
Hi there. Welcome, everybody. Welcome to One Bills Drive on this Wednesday, last day of January. As difficult as it may be to believe that, John Murphy, Donald Jones in our One Buffalo studio. We're going to head out to Super Bowl 52 and Steve Tasker in a moment. Good afternoon, Donald. What are you getting? Last minute notes here? What do you got?
I'm writing some things down. I'm trying to do something.
Laundry know? List? What do you got?
Groceries? Grocery list. Grocery list for later.
Let me see. Good to be with you, Donald. How are you? Everything good?
Everything is good. How you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm approaching a couple of days away now from a week off, so I'm looking forward to that.
Oh, you look at the countdown has begun.
Short timer. Very short timer now. Donald's got the show starting next week. Hey.
We still haven't found out with who.
Well, you know what? And now's the time to do it. We've been talking about doing it. We haven't done it, but it's out there. People know. Is it okay if we talk about this now for a minute or two?
Mm-hmm.
You are leaving the show in a couple of months. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I'll be leaving in a couple of months, and you know, it's just really just got to get back home to the family. You know, obviously my immediate family, the kids, the wife, but also my grandparents who are sick and older uncles who are sick, I need to spend time with them, you know. So I'll be back and forth still working. I still run the after-school program up here. I still do a bunch of other things in the community. So I'll still be around. I'll still be around here, hopefully. We'll see if we can work that out, and that'll be that.
Yeah, we'll miss you. And it's been, you know, a little awkward because the news somehow leaked out. And written about in the newspaper, even though the reporter never bothered to call you about it, but the news was out there.
It's amazing
and now
how
you're
that
getting,
happens.
Now you're getting, you know, good wishes and best wishes from folks, listeners, and friends, and otherwise. Mike Giannitti from Spot Track came across it somewhere and said, "Hey, I'm going to miss Donald. I'm sorry he's not with the show, or he's not going to be on the show soon."
Yeah, it's going to be different. It'll definitely be different not being here every day. Maybe next year during the seasons I can still be on. Couple days a week or something like that, because like I said, I'll still be here and possibly still be working with the team, but I can't really speak on it contractually right now.
Oh. Oh. Okay, Eric Wood. No, but it'll be a couple of years that you've been doing the show. We will miss you whenever it is that the end comes, sometime this spring, I would guess, or
something. Yeah, sometime in the spring.
Okay. In the meantime, we're counting on you.
Still here.
You're still here.
We have to take this trip out to this 8-hour drive to the combine still.
You're still on board for that?
I'm still on board for that. So we'll figure out who's driving.
I thought maybe this was an attempt to get out of that drive.
No, I'll still be here.
What do you mean who's driving? I'm driving because I'm the one who can talk us out of tickets.
You're right. You definitely talked us out. You had to talk us out of that ticket. It was your fault. We got pulled over.
It was
going to
be my ticket. No tickets this time. No, even close to getting a ticket this time. I promise.
We hope.
Unless we got to get – it was Chick-fil-A, right? We had to go to Chick-fil-A somewhere in Ohio.
And we saw it, and it was like
– going over medians and stuff. And we didn't get a ticket.
Didn't get
I should have been honest with – what was he, Ohio State Trooper?
Was he a state trooper?
Or maybe he was a county sheriff. I just said, look, we're going to Chick-fil-A. We don't have those where we come from. He said something like, in this state, that's not how we drive. And I should have said, well, in our state, we don't have Chick-fil-A.
Yeah, you should have. I mean, was it just a U-turn?
Yeah, just a simple little U-turn.
It was a simple little U-turn. Didn't see him.
Officer.
I don't even know where he came from.
If I had seen him, I wouldn't have done it.
I mean, it made it worse because when he got behind us, we were stuck in the middle of a very congested area.
Yeah.
And you weren't able to really pull over.
Right.
We were in the middle of the road making a left turn at a light. And he's like, pull over. And it's like, I can't pull over right here.
So for a while, it was like the Al Collins slow speed chase for a while. Just imagine if there was a helicopter overhead watching me go like 3 miles an hour looking for a place to pull over. It would have been Al Collins all over again. We got more hijinks like that coming up. A trip to the combine coming up in a couple of weeks.
Right.
Hey, there's stuff going on again here today, both here and in Super Bowl City, Minneapolis, Minnesota. Here, Aaron Williams formally announced his retirement today. And Aaron Williams, of course, who did not play last year with the head and neck injuries, formally announced his retirement. Bills have a new secondary coach, John Butler, named yesterday to the Post. He replaces Gil Bird, who coached the secondaries. We'll talk about that during the course of the day. There's a new TV contract for Thursday Night Football, and reports of the demise of the NFL on TV have been greatly exaggerated. Apparently, as a television product, it is alive and well. We'll talk about that as Thursday Night Football moves to Fox. And there's the little matter of the game out in there's also the trade. Alex Smith traded. A quarterback from the Chiefs is now the quarterback for the Washington Redskins, which opens up Kirk Cousins, which opens up a lot of possibilities, actually opens up our Twitter poll and a topic we'd like to discuss with you. I feel like we've done this topic before recently, but the landscape changes now, right?
It
with
did.
Smith off the market and Kirk Cousins certainly coming on the market.
I think it truly changes because I think a lot of people were on board with bringing Alex Smith here.
I was one of them.
Yeah, exactly. And trading for Alex Smith because you were like, man, you won't have to pay him that much money. Now, the Redskins, they broke the bank a little bit, I guess. I mean, he got, what, $71 million?
Guaranteed, right?
Guaranteed. He's going to get like $25 million a year.
$94 million contract extension, 4 years, $71 million guaranteed. Not fully guaranteed, but still, that's a lot of money. $94 million for Alex Smith. That's the kind of money that I would not have been prepared for the Bills to pay for him.
That means he's their franchise quarterback, at least for the next 5 years, or however long that the length of that contract is. So it's it kind of does change things because I don't think people – I mean, you have a lot of people who have been saying, Kirk Cousins, you could bring Kirk Cousins here. But I was on board with Alex Smith versus the Kirk Cousins. My biggest thing with Kirk Cousins, and I was saying this in the control room out there before we came on air, is why was Washington not willing to lock him up long term?
Mm-hmm.
In a league that is so thirsty for quarterbacks, every year you have people trading away drafts to get a quarterback. You have teams training, trying to do just scratch and claw just to find a guy out there that can lead our team to the playoffs and things like that. And it's not just the Bills. The Bills have been dealing with this for a while now, but teams across this league have been trying to find that guy. And you see a different quarterback at the helm every year for a good amount of teams in this league. And so when you think about it, when you feel like you – or when you have a franchise guy – why are you so willing to let him out the door?
Yeah.
And that's my biggest thing. So what's wrong with Kirk Cousins?
Right. And you also wonder, a couple of things. What's wrong with Washington to pay him on the tag for a couple of years and now to get to this point? I mean, what have they done? You could have somehow put together a longer-term deal for Kirk Cousins for the last couple of years or even just last year and kind of spread that money out. They took a tremendous cap hit for two consecutive years because they didn't work out a long-term deal. If they didn't, you know, obviously they didn't have a long-term conviction on the guy, but I think they misplayed that. And I wonder about Alex Smith, too, now on his third team, you know, which says something about him and how teams feel about him. It's an awful lot of money to give Alex Smith, as you said, $94 million in 4 years, $71 million guaranteed. I know the going rate for quarterbacks is going to be, what, $19, $20 million? Well, that's higher than that, you know. Yeah. That's more than $20 million a year. It changes the quarterback picture, I believe, a little bit for the Buffalo Bills. And even though it sounds like and seems like we had this Twitter poll question before, we thought we would revisit it today. So now what for the Buffalo Bills and the quarterback question? And now what do you think their quarterback option should be? On Twitter, our question for you, with Alex Smith off the market, whom do you want to see as the Bills quarterback next year? Who are you looking for? Let us know what you think. You can give us a call. We'd love to hear your voice on the telephone line at 803-0550 or toll-free from outside Buffalo, 1-888-550-2550. Or you can vote in our Twitter poll. We've got close to 500 votes in already. Half of you, just about 48% of you, say you want to see the Bills draft somebody and have him be the quarterback next year. More on that in a moment. 25% of you say you want Kirk Cousins, who is going to hit the market, one would think. 15% say you want another free agent. We'll go through the list of possible free agent quarterbacks. And just 12% say you're okay with Tyrod Taylor coming back. With Alex Smith off the market, who do you want to see as the Bills quarterback next year? Not the first time we've addressed this, not the last time for sure, but maybe renewed interest in this with the Alex Smith trade to Washington and Kirk Cousins apparently ready to hit the open market. Let us know what you think. Give us a call, 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-550-2550, or you can do it via Twitter at John Murphy Show. Yeah, there are other potential free agents who are going to be out there. The Vikings have that crew of three that you think one or maybe two of them are going to shake loose. Nick Foles is out there, is potentially out there, not as a free agent, but maybe as a possible trade target.
Right.
A lot of options out there for the Bills. What do you think? 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-550-2550. I'm sorry, I'm distracted. This is what you do. Lorenzo Alexander tweet. Did you see this?
This guy,
so
man.
You talk about how you're not going to be around on the show. Lorenzo tweets it. I can't believe I won't be able to pick on Donald Jones on the John Murphy Show next season. Sad day. And Lorenzo, once again, going to the artwork.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's good.
I mean, this guy, man. It just lets you know that Lorenzo, he's listening to us. He listens to us on a daily basis. Thanks for listening, Lorenzo.
Thanks, Lorenzo.
When did he say he was leaving today?
No, I saw him doing an interview surprise in the field house today. Doing another interview today. Lorenzo, can you believe that?
He must be leaving tomorrow. I forget when he's leaving.
What's today? Yeah, I think he might be.
Lorenzo, we need to get you on the show, man, if you're still around.
I think they're going to hook up with him out in Minnesota.
Well, we can get him here and there.
That might be a little bit too much. Nothing against Lorenzo. Speaking of the Super Bowl, speaking of Minnesota, our man Steve Tasker is standing by. He's covering the Super Bowl for us this week, and he is all set up in Radio Row and Mall of America in Bloomington, Minnesota, for his second day of broadcasting from the epicenter of the NFL world. Steve Tasker joining us now. Good morning, Steve. It is morning out there in Minnesota, right?
Yeah, it is. Hey, Murph. Hi, Donald. How you guys doing? It's a bright, sunny day. We had snow overnight, but it's sunny this morning and very bright, and the mall is filling up fast.
Yeah. Well, make sure now your producer out there, Jay Harris, our producer too, he said that there's a Cinnabon there in the food court behind you. He wants to know if you run over to the Cinnabon and get one of those healthy option choices they have there at Cinnabon.
It is a very, very nice place to be. The food, you can smell the food in the food court all the time here. There's a Starbucks. And stuff I've never even heard of, too. This Carlo's Bake Shop that's got all kinds of stuff in it.
Well,
it's the perfect spot to be, because every time you guys go off, every time I go off camera, I'm right over the food court grabbing something. I'm gonna weigh more than you, Murph, when I get home. I'm just gonna put it out there. It's gonna be bad. It's gonna be rough.
That's the way you
put
it out.
But it's been fun.
There,
it's been great.
I like that.
You know, last year in Houston, last year in Houston, there was no real food around Radio Row. I remember kind of scrounging up stuff, walking like down the hallways looking for stuff. You're right in the middle of it now there in the Mall of America, huh?
I think the guys on Radio Row probably said something and they fixed it in a big way. No question. There's everything you'd ever want to eat. I walked around the mall, and I felt like I covered everything. Then I realized I'd missed, like, two whole wings of this place that I didn't even walk down through yesterday. It's an absolutely enormous place with an amusement park. And you guys probably realize it's phenomenal to be here, and it's full of people. It's very wide open, and it's been fun. And now you can kind of feel, now that it's Wednesday, this is kind of where you're kind of thinking, for the guys who are here for the first, never been here before, it starts to kind of get into a lull where, okay, we've done all this, we've seen this, and we've heard from the teams, they're in town. Tomorrow, Thursday, as you guys know this, the families arrive, everybody who's making it a long weekend at the Super Bowl arrives, and the town absolutely has the lid come off of it. Everything is packed. Every restaurant, every bar, every hotel is completely full, and tomorrow night everybody hits town ready to hit it hard for the entire weekend, and everything changes tomorrow. So today it's kind of a nice lull where you can kind of have a few guests on. People are still milling around. You've got, you know, everybody who is anybody in the NFL or ever has been anybody in the NFL is here this week. And they can kind of walk around unfettered until tomorrow, because then the roof comes off. And everybody's kind of, all the guys who have been here before are kind of, you know, taking a deep breath, getting ready for that. But today is beautiful, and it's been a lot of fun here.
Steve Tasker joining us from the Super Bowl 52 in Minneapolis, Minnesota. I've been following Super Bowl news, Steve, and other than a couple of injury updates here and there, it doesn't seem like anything major has come out of the Super Bowl itself so far this week, right? Nothing, no big news stories coming out of there yet.
That's exactly right. I think the biggest news was probably that Gronkowski is still in the concussion protocol, although now he's starting to get words getting out that he has said he's confident he's going to play. As soon as he's cleared from the concussion protocol, he can begin meeting with the media again. That's the Madden rule. If you're in the concussion protocol, you cannot speak with the media, and that goes for midweek as well. So Gronkowski is getting closer and closer to being ready to play, and that's probably the story that both teams have come about. Some of the other outlets, and we've spoken about it on the show, that they're kind of trying to weave into there that the Eagles may be a little bit wide-eyed about this whole thing. The week might be a little too much for them to handle, or the distractions might turn out to be too much, or Nick Foles doesn't seem to be kind of comfortable in this setting. That's one other story that's coming out. I don't know how much credence I lend to that, because there's a lot of experience in that locker room in Philadelphia with Super Bowls, starting with our guy Frank Reich and Peterman, their head coach, who's been in the Super Bowl. So there's that story as well. But you're right, Murph. This is the time. This is kind of the teams are sequestered. They've got their nose to the grindstone, and really everybody is all about Minneapolis, St. Paul area, and the Super Bowl, and they really couldn't care less right now, unless you're, you know, a fan of one of the teams. Who's playing in the game? The Minnesota fans and the Viking fans that are everywhere, they're just loving having the game here, and it's been fun.
You know, I've actually been hearing about Vikings fans booing the Eagles, and I've seen something from the mayor saying that, you know, basically they don't like the Eagles out there because they lost to the Eagles. But on another note, you were talking about Gronk, and I saw Gronk on ESPN. I believe this was yesterday. He was playing Madden against LeGarrette Blount. So I'd have to believe that this whole concussion thing is, even though he's still technically in concussion protocol, he's going to play in the game on Sunday.
I don't think there's any question about it. I think he has come out and said that he expects to play. I think you'd hear it from – you'd hear some rumblings of it from the team itself, even though the Patriots are notoriously a tight-lipped bunch. If Gronk wasn't practicing or playing or getting ready or progressing towards playing, you'd hear something about it. There's been none of that. I think it's all systems go for the Patriots, and I think the Philadelphia Eagles are all very healthy as well, given the fact that, you know, Nick Foles is now their starter and Carson Wentz is obviously not there. But for the rest of the squad, and I remember this being the case, most teams get really healthy just before the Super Bowl, and I think that's the way that the league wants. I think it's a good thing.
And I did notice Tom Brady doing his duty at the podium, I guess it was yesterday. Yeah, it was yesterday. He wore a glove over his injured. He doesn't even want shots of the removed. I assume they're removed by now. He doesn't even want shots of his injured thumb a week and a half, 2 weeks later, Steve, which is kind of odd, huh?
Yeah, he's had the stitches out, no question. So he's probably got a nice scar there, but he's wearing the glove because – He doesn't want to have to spend an extra 10 minutes holding his hand up for pictures, probably. I mean, it's that he probably thinks like that. And let me tell you something. A lot's been said about Tom Brady. He's the first guy to ever start a Super Bowl at 40 years old. He's the greatest of all time. He's won all the Super Bowls. He's been in seven. He's won five of them. I'll tell you a quick story about him. I've covered the Patriots a number of times. I've been a sideline reporter for when the CBS had the championship game. A couple of times, and when you go to a Friday practice in New England before a championship game late in the season, Tom Brady is still doing basic, fundamental quarterback stretches and drills before practice on the Friday before a championship game. He is, you almost want to say he's a little bit psychotic because he really prepares the same way every week, every game, no matter what it is. And it's really when I got a look at that, and I kind of took a hard look of exactly what he was doing, and I go, are you kidding me? And it's really amazing to think about that he's been doing that for so long and still continues to do that step by step progress to practice on a Friday when he's probably only going to throw two balls and those are going to be half speed. He's here for a reason. He's the greatest of all time for a reason, and most of it is because of his willingness to do that every single day. There's not too many guys who will because they take things, you know. You know what it's like. Do your job. It's amazing. So I think that's why Tom Brady's here. That's why he keeps a glove on his hand for the interviews. The guy just will give you nothing. He will give nothing away to his opponent if he thinks he can get a competitive advantage for it. And even if it's a distraction, he wears a glove over it. It's pretty amazing.
We're with Steve Tasker. He's covering Super Bowl 52 for us. He is live at Radio Row, the Mall of America, Bloomington, Minnesota. Going to have Mike Haynes coming up in a couple of minutes. But, Steve, you mentioned about preparing to broadcast a game. You played in four Super Bowls, broadcast at least one that I can think of as a sideline reporter down in New Orleans. You've been in that. You've been in those shoes also. And those people work to get ready. That's part of the prep this week, and you had a chance to talk to some of the NBC crew yesterday, right?
Yeah, we did. We talked to Liam McHugh. We talked to Dan Patrick yesterday. In fact, we're going to hear from Dan Patrick a little bit later. I mean, it's part of the – and actually part of the story is that when you come to this Super Bowl as a part of the broadcast crew, you become a story. So actually yesterday, you know, we tracked them down. Those guys are made available to us in the media. So I got that chance to sit down with Dan Patrick, one of the venerable broadcasters of the NFL, ESPN radio show, and I sat down with him yesterday to speak.
Dan, it's just kind of a little bit of every Super Bowl is unique, no question about it. This year's a little unique because you got a number one seed in the NFC and the Eagles coming in. All of a sudden, the Carson Wentz goes down, and they go from being this juggernaut to the underdog. And now they're playing the ultimate overdog in the Patriots. I mean, tell us how, you know, some what you see about that and how interesting it is and how it could affect this game and the people's perspective about it.
Well, we love an underdog. I don't know if I consider the Eagles a true underdog because it's still a really balanced team. And their offensive line and defensive line, I think that's the best combination in the league. I don't know if you can be that big of an underdog. It really comes down to Nick Foles is the underdog. Tom Brady's the greatest of all time. That's the matchup that we're tuning in to see. Can Nick Foles hold his own long enough for, you know, that offense or that defensive line to put pressure on Brady? That's all you want to do. Is you stay in the game with them. They're so used to making you blink, but that's what we want to see. Brady's picking out somebody already from the secondary. He already knows his game plan. You know, here it is. It's Tuesday. He knows what he's going to do on Sunday. That's scary. Now, can Nick Foles and the Eagles and Doug Peterson attack the same way? Because we always talk about, oh, Belichick takes away your biggest weapon. Well, why can't you do that to them? You take away Gronk. Now, granted, then there's Brandon Cooks or Amendola, or you know, but you have to, you almost have to turn the tables on Belichick and say, oh, okay, we're doing this. Because if you can do that and make them nervous, make them uncomfortable, then now you rely on the rest of your team. And that's where Philadelphia has a great balanced team.
And it's interesting as well because the Patriots have been in this, their experience, have the Super Bowl hype doesn't distract them. They've been here before. And then, like last night, somebody said that, you know, Brady was very smooth on stage and that media thing. And Nick Foles looked a little bit,
But that's Nick. Sometimes you're not comfortable in the spotlight, but you're comfortable on a football field. There are guys who are great interviews who aren't great quarterbacks. And there are great quarterbacks who aren't great interviews. So there's a difference in that. So I don't – like Brady came out as if to say – it was like a WWE-type feel. When he walked in, it's like, here I am. I'm Brock Lesnar, dude. Like deal with me. Nick is not that kind of guy. It's not his personality. So I didn't take anything away like, oh, my God, Nick Foles is nervous. Nick Foles would just be a Nick Foles. So I didn't drive anything.
One of the things, too, is you've covered sports for a couple of decades now. And it's kind of fun. Is it fun to be here and know that you're going to be at the game and you're going to have something to say about it and talk a little bit about how this is a Super Bowl and what it means to broadcasters? I mean, I've done some Super Bowl work as well. I mean, talk a little bit about what it means to you personally. I mean, you've been at this a long time, and now, you know, let's face it, you're at a pinnacle. Every interview is asking about, wow, you're kind of who I want to be. So it's kind of one of those moments for broadcasters as well. Talk about what it means to you.
Well, I was lucky to be there when Jordan won his titles. And that was what was fun, is I was getting paid to cover Michael Jordan winning championships. And, you know, I'm here with Brady with his championships, and here he is going for his sixth, and I had Jordan winning six. And to be around that, I just want to see greatness, whether it was Bird when he played against Magic and I covered them, or it's McEnroe against Borg and I covered that. That's all you want to do, is to be around these events that define us, and we will talk about forever. I sat down with Brady last night for 30 minutes, and it dawned on me right at the very end, I'm talking to the guy who could be considered the greatest football player of all time and on the precipice of maybe a sixth Super Bowl title, which seems unfathomable. So that's why I always tell people, enjoy the moment, no matter if it's a high school game, if it's a college game, if it's, you know, Division III. Appreciate the moment, because that moment will help you when you get to the next moment.
When this game comes down and you're talking about those moments, what's the moment that you anticipate? What's the moment that's going to happen in this game? Is it going to be a sixth championship for a guy who's going to be forever known as the greatest of all time? Is it going to be an underdog story? What do you think that moment's going to look like in this game?
I have no idea the game plan here, because it still comes down. If you say to me that Foles is going to play with the same composure he did against Minnesota, just the composure, now we got a game. Because I do think that Philadelphia, you know, the good offensive line – you know, can Ajayi get some yards for you? Is Alshon Jeffrey or Aguilar get a big play there? Special teams. Does Doug Peterson get creative? Does he get too creative? Does Belichick, you know, decide to do something that's completely different? Is Brady off? You know, is there a deflection? Is there a fluky play? Like, that's what happens. So you can try to script this. You couldn't have scripted last year. I could have given you 1,000 scripts. You know, a Hollywood writer couldn't have written that. Brady's mom makes it to the game, battling cancer. He's down 28-3. They end up, I mean, come on. But that's why we do what we do, because we don't know what happens. You know, that final chapter. When they close the book, you go, I didn't see that coming.
That was my interview yesterday with Dan Patrick. And it was great because I got it. Murph, you can relate to this. You get this a little bit as well. I listened to him do 3 interviews before we got a chance to sit down with him, and every interview was about the same thing. So many young kids in America today want to be Dan Patrick. They want to get into the job, and they want to have a role, and they want to be with a team and a crew and on a network like he is and have their own show and talk about sports like he does. And Murph, I know you must get that a lot as well, being a guy in Buffalo that kids look up to. And I know I get it about you from kids. Dan Patrick, one of those guys on a national level that it was fun to sit down and talk with him. And believe me, being here and seeing those guys, you can relate to that, right, Murph?
Yeah, in fact, when I saw him there and saw your interview, Steve, and listened to it, I thought about the time. I've never met Dan Patrick. I had a chance to, though. First Super Bowl I ever went to was January of 1985. The radio station WBEN, where I worked, sent me to Stanford Stadium, Palo Alto, to cover the 49ers and Dan Marino's Dolphins team. And I was just, you know, I was a kid, you know, just getting started. And I'd watched Dan Patrick, and I think this, if it wasn't before ESPN, it certainly was early in ESPN. I think he was working at CNN at the time. But I saw him in the Dolphins locker room. I was doing interviews post-game. And Dan Patrick, for some reason, I think he broke his leg skiing or something. He's hobbling around on crutches doing interviews. And I was so intimidated by him because I'd seen him on TV. And then there's a complication of him being a little bit, you know, hobbled with his crutches. I figure, I can't bother this guy right now. I was afraid to go talk to him.
But you were afraid?
I was afraid to talk to him. Great guy, though. He seems like a great guy, right?
Yeah. Yeah, he is. He is, and like all broadcasters, they are what they seem to be because you need to be yourself on the air. I mean, Donald, you, Murph, me, we're kind of the same guys off the air as we are on, and that's what these guys are as well. And I'm surprised that you, I'm like Donald. I'm kind of surprised you were afraid to go up and talk to him.
yeah, Murph. Will go I didn't up know and talk that about anybody. You. He'll go up and talk to anybody.
Right?
It doesn't matter. Pre-game, he's like, oh man, I got to get down there. He'll find his way down to the field to talk to somebody. But Steve, you've covered a Super Bowl, as Murph was talking about, the one where the lights went out. That whole situation that happened. But what's it like to – we all know what it's like to prepare for a game and only have 1 week. What's it like to prepare and have 2 weeks where now you can get a lot of backstories and a lot of different things for the game?
Yeah. I think for us, and I think for a guy like me, being a sideline reporter for the crew that did it for CBS, for Phil Simms, Jim Nantz, twice – It you have to keep it about football, because in this week running up, like all of us, we've got Ryan Leaf on here, we've got Dan Patrick, the media becomes a story, the fans become the story, the Minnesota Viking fans, the city becomes a story, the lead up, the commissioner comes in town, he becomes a story, everything, and all the ex-players that are in town talking about the game and doing all these other events becomes a story as well. And for the guys covering the game, you know, we're just talking. We just hope they can get it lined up and snap it. You know, yeah. I mean, we just want to watch another football game. That's the thing that kind of gets lost in all of this, because I said yesterday, and it really is true, for everybody around this thing, it is about so much more than just a football game. And for those of us who are lucky to cover it, that's basically it still is just another game if you can find it.
Yeah, it's sometimes tough to find. All right, Steve, thanks. Steve Tasker joining us from the Super Bowl Radio Row in Minneapolis, Minnesota, Bloomington, Minnesota. We're going to get it back to Steve in a minute to talk about he's got a special guest coming up, Hall of Fame cornerback Mike Haynes, going to join Steve Tasker. Our topic of the day deals with quarterbacks. The landscape changed a little bit last night, and we're going to get you engaged on that as well. When Alex Smith was traded away to Washington, means Kirk Cousins is going to most likely hit the free agent market. It means Pat Mahomes is probably going to be the Chiefs guy. It means Alex Smith's going to get paid a ton of money to go to Washington. Mm. And it changes for the Bills as one of the teams that need a quarterback. And it all kind of – I mean, that was – to me, it was like a preemptive strike by Washington last night to make that trade and start the wheels in motion for this quarterback thing.
Yeah, that – I remember last year everybody was really waiting for Tyrod Taylor.
Yeah.
To figure out what was going to happen with Tyrod Taylor. And then as soon as he – the whole deal got signed and straightened out, he was back here – you saw the rest of the chips start to fall into place with different teams, different quarterbacks throughout the league. This one was the first one, and Washington, they jumped on it fast.
Comes early. Yeah,
yeah, it came early, earlier than I think anybody really expected for it to come. But it has happened now. And so now for the Bills, as a lot of people were talking about Alex Smith, now it's time to move on to the next one, whether that's Kirk Cousins, whether it's Sam Bradford, Teddy Bridgewater, one of those guys from Minnesota, Case Keenum, who might be, whether it's Nick Foles, who you might be able to trade for, especially if he goes in here and wins this thing, he's probably going to want to be a starter. Everybody wants to be a starter. So I would think that, man, I just won a Super Bowl. And I don't know if he would approach them with that, but teams will definitely be calling, trying to get him. Maybe the Bills want to jump into that, you know, that whole ballpark with them. But there's definitely some free agent quarterbacks out there. I just don't want to break the bank for one of these guys, like a Kirk Cousins. And reports are that, you know, he made, what, $27 million last year. I don't know if he wants to make that every year as his contract. That will supersede everybody right now who's in even the quarterback out in Detroit, who is, what, the highest-paid quarterback right now. That will supersede him. You're talking about $27 million a year. I don't know if the Bills want to get into that range
right.
with a guy like Kirk Cousins. Yep. I think they really believe that. Now, if you really, truly believe in a guy and you feel like he can take you to a Super Bowl, then go ahead and do what you got to do to make it happen. But I think they like to draft guys and build through the draft instead of making those big splash moves. I see them more going after a guy like a Sam Bradford or one of those guys. And Sam Bradford's going to want some money, but – He's had so many injuries. Who knows if he can even command that type of money on the market right now?
And then
still stay where you are and draft a guy in the draft wherever you are.
We're going to talk about quarterbacks a lot today. We're going to get you involved as well. We're also going to go back to Steve Tasker. He's standing by when we return. He'll be joined by Pro Football Hall of Fame cornerback Mike Haynes, and that's coming up next. The John Murphy Show from One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Back with more from here in Orchard Park. Orchard Park, John Murphy and Donald Jones. And back with more from the Super Bowl. Our man Steve Tasker covering Super Bowl 52. Standing by live right now on Radio Row in Bloomington, Minnesota, with a very special Hall of Fame guest. Steve, take it away.
Yeah, thanks, Murph. I'm here with Mike Haynes. Mike, thanks for being with us. I know you guys are busy. I admire your courage walking through Radio Row with your Hall of Fame jacket and your Hall of Fame ring on. I mean, because that's like dragging a steak through a pit of piranha, you know, a pool of piranha fish. Well, you're busy today, right?
I actually got here early.
Yeah.
Before everybody else, I was just had my coffee here instead of at the hotel.
Yeah.
And that made it a little bit easier. Now the lines are like 10 deeper out here.
Yeah,
people.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, I know what you're doing. It's not my first rodeo.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. So tell me, you're here in Minneapolis. You're a cancer survivor. You had prostate cancer, and because of the scare you had and the treatments you went through, you're kind of making people aware of all of that stuff that goes on. Give us a little bit of a partnership between the NFL and prostate and urology care.
Well, I found out I had prostate cancer by being in the right place at the right time.
You were lucky.
I was
right?
lucky. I was very lucky, and I was asked to be part of this campaign because of my own experience. And I don't want other men to be lucky. You know, don't be ignorant like Mike.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Don't be like Mike.
Yeah.
I actually was asked a bunch of questions that I didn't know the answer to. I didn't know if cancer ran in my family. I knew my grandfather died of something, but I didn't know what it was. And so when the doctor said 1 in 5 African-American men would be diagnosed with prostate cancer in their lifetime, that got my attention. So I got back home. I called my primary care doctor. He looked at my chart, and I was just there. And he said, what was your PSA? I told him. He says, well, that's not much of a spike. And then he said, well, looking at your chart 2 years ago was a different number. So just to be on the safe side, since you are African-American,
And we did a biopsy, and that's the only way you can really tell.
Right.
And my biopsy came back positive. So I found out by luck.
So I had a Gleason of 6. So it meant that we caught it early. That's the way that they rate the cancers. If it's 9, of course, it's way more aggressive. If it's 10, it's pretty terminal.
Right.
But I was lucky, found out in early stages. So our campaign is really for men to know their family history, know the likelihood of them getting the disease so they can catch it early. That's the whole thing.
Does it shock you? As I read the numbers, does it shock you how many guys get diagnosed? Like 165,000 guys get diagnosed every year.
Yeah. Well, what's scary to me is the numbers are going up instead of down.
Really?
Last year, here at the Super Bowl, where I think where were we last year?
We were in Atlanta. Atlanta, that's right.
And last year, the number was 1 in 7 men. Today, it's 1 in 9 men. So 1 in 8 women will be diagnosed with breast cancer. 1 in 9 men will be diagnosed with prostate cancer.
Right.
So, if you need to know if it runs in your family, and if you do, you catch it early. It's treatable. It's treatable.
It is very treatable if you catch it early, and the treatments are in place. But the thing is, you got to get checked, and that's
You know what? You're from Buffalo, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So the doctor the conversation I had is also from
Buffalo,
Roswell.
Yeah, Roswell Park.
So he worked there, and he was helping the NFL at the screenings in Hall of Fame at Canton, Ohio. And he's an African-American guy named Willie Underwood. And I don't know that I would have really been paying as much of attention if it had not been him.
Really?
You know, I don't know. You know, I don't really know. But when he said 1 in 5 at the time, 1 in 5 African-American men would be diagnosed with the disease, it meant more to me. Right. And I thought, geez, that seems like a lot of men. So I visualized, a room, a gymnasium or something with all the black people watching a game or a sport or something, and every fifth guy being diagnosed. I said, wow, that's a lot of people. And that got my attention. So thank you, Willie, and I appreciate the good work that you're doing out there.
That's our own Buffalo connection there.
Yeah.
But, well, you're here in Minneapolis now, and you're in the Hall of Fame, and all that voting goes on. It's coming up on Friday or Saturday.
Yeah.
We were having a conversation off the air about Terrell Owens
and
the controversy that surrounds him. It's not so much about his numbers, because it's really a rubber stamp if it was in a vacuum and just looked at numbers. But there's so much many other things that go into choosing a Hall of Fame person.
Yeah, there's personalities.
Yeah.
All right? So what I don't think a lot of guys understand is the person that has to stand up and say why he should go in is that local reporter. That local guy that was in San Francisco, the local guy who was in Philly, the local guy, wherever teams he was playing on.
He played in Buffalo for a year.
Buffalo, they're going to have to. So when in the locker room, when they came over to do an interview, was he nice to them?
Right.
Or did he say, get that camera out of my face?
And it was a
tough interview?
And what you're saying is it's tough for anybody in the room full of voters. There's 48 voters. Is there 48? So there are 48 voters. It's tough for one of those guys to stand up and give the guy a ringing endorsement. As Kurt Warner drives by and says, tough to get a ringing endorsement for a guy that you don't like.
Well, you may like him, but, you know, you might say he didn't treat me very well. You know, so I'm going to make him wait. Paul Krause, this guy, a defensive back, I don't know how many interceptions he had in his career.
Right.
Like 80?
Right.
But Paul had a personality, you know, a personality that he didn't like the reporter, if he said, that was stupid what you put in the paper, you know, that kind of a deal.
Right.
So that's the same guy that had to stand up and say why Paul Krause should go into the Hall of Fame.
Right.
So I don't think guys really think about that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really unfortunate that really those voters have that kind of power that could keep a guy out. I wish the players voted. You know, we have two players that vote, James Lofton and Dan Fouts, and we really fought really hard to get those guys in. And so,
those are full-fledged voters?
They have full-fledged vote.
And a full vote.
Right.
I mean, a full voice in the room as well.
Right. So what they let the Hall of Famers do is they pass out information, and they say, if you did have a vote, which 4 or 5 guys would you pick?
Right. I got you.
And so then now the guys who do have a vote, they get that information, and they can use that to say, well, I was sitting on the fence, so all these guys think that way. I'm going to go that way.
Yeah.
So it makes a difference. But it's not a perfect situation, perfect system. But I think that the players need to know that the guy who's going to stand up and say why they should be in is the guy that they see in their locker room after every game.
Yeah. Mike Haynes, Hall of Fame cornerback for so many years in the National Football League. Here promoting prostate screening for men to get fixed. A cancer survivor, thank you so much for being
here.
Thank
you. And please send them to our website, knowyourstats.org, where you can get a lot of frequently asked questions, get the answers for those, and a lot of good information there.
Thanks, Mike. And we'll send it back to you, Murph. Thanks.
Okay, Steve Tasker and Mike Haynes, knowyourstats.org, the website for prostate screening. Mike Haynes, Donald, I was telling you, I don't mind being the old guy here, maybe the finest all-around corner I have ever seen in the NFL. He could do whatever you want, come up with interceptions, got him. You know, stick to a man, a shutdown corner, he can do that. Mm-hmm. He was just sensational. Fifth overall pick, I think 1976, coming out of Arizona State, played with the Patriots, played with the Raiders on the Super Bowl winning team when the Raiders beat Washington. He was just a sensational player.
He was the type of corner that – because he's 6'2", so you went through this whole phase of, like, shorter corners, and now you're getting back into teams want these longer, linkier guys out there on the edges. I mean, he was that guy, 6'2", long arms. Yeah. He could cover anybody as you watch, you know, people on the MSG side watching the highlights of him.
Score against the Bills.
Return one when he was with the Patriots. And then there you go, a kick returner. So I was telling those guys in the other room, it's so hard to argue different generations because who's the best of all time. It's so hard to do, especially at that position, because now people would argue, well, the corners now, they can't even breathe on guys. They can't put their hands on them. They still got to get it done. Back in the day, you could maul guys all the way down the field, you know. So people are always going to find arguments for different things. They do the same thing with Jordan and LeBron and Kobe and those guys. But when you watch the highlights of Mike Haynes, he definitely is a beast on the field.
He could play now. He could play now and excel now. 9-time Pro Bowl performer, Mike Haynes. Great to see him, and a very good message, too. There's a point he made, too. I want to get to a break here. A point he made about Hall of Fame votes that I want to discuss with you. We do want to talk about quarterbacks. The phone lines are open, 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-552-550. All of that coming up. Quarterback talk, your comments on the Kirk Cousins situation now, and Alex Smith goes to Washington. All of that coming up when we return. The John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts, live at One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Welcome back to One Bills Drive. John Murphy and Donald Jones here. We got Steve Tasker in the Super Bowl City, Minneapolis, and did a great interview a moment ago with Mike Haynes. We're going to hear from Steve and, believe it or not, Ryan Leaf a little bit later on in the show. Also, Ryan Groy going to join us later on in the show next hour, who would seem to be the heir apparent with Eric Wood now, his career over. In the meantime, let's hear from you. Want to know what you think about the deal last night. Alex Smith goes to Washington. Kirk Cousins likely to shake loose via free agency. All of the quarterback options that the Bills and the rest of the NFL have. Has the landscape changed, and how do you think the Bills should proceed? That is our Twitter poll. As far as the Buffalo Bills are concerned, when it comes to quarterbacks, what would you do if you were the Bills? We have asked this question before, but with Alex Smith off the market now, who do you want to see the Bills see as the Bills quarterback next year? 49% of you say, I want to see a draft pick. 25% of you say you want Kirk Cousins. 13% say Tyrod Taylor. 13% say somebody, say another free agent. Let us know, 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-550-2550. I believe we have a call on the line on this topic. Hi, I don't have your name. Go ahead. You have something to say about quarterbacks, though.
Hi, am I on?
Yeah, you're on. Who is this?
Oh, hi, this is Andrew from Rochester, and I wanted to call and say that I believe we should keep Tyrod, although I do think we should get a rookie quarterback, draft a rookie. And I also think that Teddy Bridgewater has tremendous upside, and he would be a great fit for the Bills.
Okay. You know, people, me included, Donald, tend to dismiss the Tyrod option as, come on, they've seen enough. And you pointed out they benched him in midseason this year. Mm-hmm. With a winning record, they put him on the bench, which would seem to indicate they're ready to move on. But I just think with one possible option, Alex Smith off the table, and based on the track record of what they did a year ago, they brought Tyrod back a year ago, I'm not prepared to categorically say it will not be Tyrod Taylor. I think they're ready to move on, but I'm not sure. I'm wondering if that door still might be open just a little bit.
For me, I think the door is closed, and this probably will come back to haunt me. but I think the door is closed. I just think that they want to get better, and they said they need to get better from 31st in passing in the league.
Yes.
And it's been like that the last couple of years. I just don't know which route. I do believe they're going to draft a quarterback.
Yes.
I don't know if they're going to trade up to get one, stay where they are, take a guy in the second round. But I do think they're going to draft one fairly high in this draft. We'll see where that ends up being. The biggest question is, I don't know if they would like for that guy to be the starter on day one. I still think that they will want a guy here, a veteran who has played some games in this league, won some games in this league. And so do you go out there? And if you have Tyrod right now and you have the decision to pick up his option or not, you look out there on the free agent market and say, well, who's better?
Who?
Yeah,
right.
Who?
That's where I'm at. Who? I don't know.
And people are going to say, well, Sam Bradford. Sam Bradford, you could say you might be better in passing, but can he stay healthy for a full season? It's been rare that he's been healthy for a full season. Teddy Bridgewater. Well, Teddy Bridgewater is a guy who's coming off of a serious knee injury, and we don't know where he is in terms of that knee injury. And that's going to be something that they will truly have to look into, is Teddy Bridgewater's knee and how that will hold up through a full season. You look at people with Kirk Cousins. You got to get Kirk Cousins. Well, Kirk Cousins is an option. And if you bring in Kirk Cousins, you're probably going to get better in passing, of course. Do you want to pay him the type of money that he wants to get paid?
People Kirk Cousins, talk about him being the highest paid player in NFL history
right,
in the next couple of months.
In the next couple of months.
Do the Bills want to do that with Kirk Cousins?
Does he deserve that?
No, but deserve doesn't matter.
Right, exactly.
That train left the station a long time ago.
Right, it definitely left the station. It's really all about timing, especially with these quarterbacks. This teams are just like, all right, pay him whatever. But I will always come back to, why let him get out the door? Regardless of, if you feel like, man, this dude is so good and he wants to get paid $27 million a year and be the highest paid in NFL history, if he's that good, you're probably going to do what you got to do.
Yeah.
But there's a reason why they weren't willing to get into that ballpark with him. We don't feel like you're worth that type of money.
Yeah.
So you can go ahead and get your money somewhere else, but we're going to go ahead and get a guy who has actually been to the playoffs and did some things in this league.
I mean, the numbers, surprisingly, I think to me, the numbers between Alex Smith and Kirk Cousins, fairly similar. But there's a four-year age difference. Alex Smith is 33 years old. Kirk Cousins just 29 years old. So the Washington, and you can question their decision-making, and I would, as a matter of fact, question their decision-making over the last several years. But basically, they've said goodbye to a 29-year-old guy who's been fairly effective and said hello to a 33-year-old guy who's been fairly effective, has flaws in his game, and is going to cost him a ton of money over 4 years. Now, they'll structure it so that they probably won't be on the hook for money for 4 years, but still, $94 million, $71 million guaranteed, and they're losing 4 years of effective playing ability. It's a puzzling move, and it goes to your point. What Washington, who would know Kirk Cousins better than anybody else, they must see something there that leads them to go somewhere else,
right?
And to make that deal anyway.
And you have to ask. And I know we got to get to a break, but do you want to pay a bridge quarterback that type of money?
Yeah, which is why I thought Alex Smith was a possible nice fit with the Bills as a bridge quarterback to mentor a draft pick. But not at that price.
No.
That's not a bridge quarterback. Mm-hmm. That's not bridge quarterback money. We're going to break. We're coming back. More quarterback talk. We'll get more of your phone calls on the air. We're going to head back to the Super Bowl with Steve Tasker during the next hour, I'm sure. And Ryan Groy is going to join us in the next hour also. The heir apparent, it would seem, et cetera. All of that coming up in the next hour. The John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts. Live at One Bills Drive, this is Buffalo Bills Radio.
Radio Network Sports Update.
We've got the update from One Bills Drive. Former Bills safety Aaron Williams, formally announcing his retirement today, did it in a letter to Bills fans published by the Players Tribune. Aaron Williams hasn't played since suffering head and neck injuries on a block by Dolphins wide receiver in October of 2016. In his letter, Williams reiterated that he felt Landry's hit was unnecessary, but he says he has no ill will. And he apologized to Bills fans for his behavior in his first couple of years. Aaron Williams, second-round pick of the Bills in 2011, making formal his retirement from the game. Bills made formal their switch out of a new defensive backfield coach late yesterday. The Bills hiring John Butler as the new secondary coach, replacing Gil Bird. Butler, 44 years of age, spent the last four seasons as the defensive backfield coach for the Houston Texans. Texans with some progress during his 4 years there. Butler spent two seasons at Penn State under Bill O'Brien before he went to Houston, and he has a history with head coach Sean McDermott. They played high school football together at LaSalle College High School in Philadelphia. Big trade last night in the NFL. The Chiefs traded quarterback Alex Smith to Washington, the first big trade of the year. And then they reached agreement on the trade. It is Smith to Washington for cornerback Kendall Fuller and a 2018 third-round pick. As part of the agreement, Washington giving Alex Smith a four-year contract extension worth $94 million with a whopping $71 million in guarantees. Thursday Night Football moving to Fox TV starting next season and for the next five seasons. Fox TV averaging more than $60 million per game. NBC last year paid, and CBS paid, about $45 million apiece. Sabres, three-game win streak snapped last night, a 3-1 loss to the New Jersey Devils. Sabres on the ice for practice today, and they're home again tomorrow night against the Florida Panthers, face-off at 7 o'clock. College basketball, St. Bonaventure on the road at George Mason. The Bonnies back on the road after two straight wins at home. And UB lost last night for the first time after nine straight wins. The Bulls lost to Kent State. And that is the update from One Bills Drive. John Murphy, Donald Jones in our One Buffalo studio. We've got Steve Tasker standing by out in Minneapolis at the Super Bowl. Plenty to talk about today, including the quarterback trade last night. Alex Smith goes to Washington. Kirk Cousins going to hit the free agent market. Pat Mahomes likely to be the new quarterback in Kansas City. Many ramifications, some of them including the Buffalo Bills, and we want to get your thoughts on that. Our Twitter poll today on that trade, what does it do to the Bills' quarterback landscape? What do you think it does? On Twitter, we asked the question, with Alex Smith now off the market, who do you want to see as the Bills' quarterback next year? Right now, 49% of you say you want to see a draft pick. 26% say Kirk Cousins, bring him here, now that Washington's going to be done with him. 13% say another free agent. 12% say Tyrod Taylor. What do you think? Let us know. 803-0550. Toll free 1-888-550-2550 or via Twitter. A couple of calls on this. Manny calling from White Plains, New York. Go ahead, Manny. You're on the air.
Hey, how you doing, John?
Doing well.
My thing is that I really do believe that is there any way possible to trade Tyrod to get any value for him? Do you think that's possible?
Yeah, of course. I definitely think that's possible.
What value?
What value? I think
draft pick wise, third, fourth, higher
I
than
think,
that?
No, I think probably four or five, somewhere in that range.
Does that sound like value to you, Manny?
Wait, say again?
Does that sound like value, good value for Tyrod Taylor if they trade him for what Donald says is a fourth or fifth? I would go somewhere between three and five. What do you think?
I think so, only because of we're getting something back. And I think we talked about it before. I think Kelso talked about it, about how it is a crapshoot with the draft either way, whether you get the high pick or the lower picks. But a lot of the lower picks turn out to be good quality players. And if we can stack a draft pick without just losing him to free agency and just put our trust in, you know, Brandon Bean – and McDermott in terms of just selecting good quality players in this draft, it could be a good thing for a good amount of years if we continue to just kind of not necessarily reach when we need to, but not necessarily go out of the norm in terms of trying to make that big splash in free agency. Because I don't think Kirk Cousins is considered the answer. You know, I mean, I think he'll get us through a good season, but I don't think he's the future. I think it's in the draft.
I agree, and I mean, we got to begin to thank you for your call, Manny. Donald, you and I in particular, me, have to begin to set some parameters here, and maybe the Bills are doing this as we speak. What are they looking for at the quarterback spot? Are they planning on drafting a quarterback this year? I hope they are, because they've got some ammunition, whether it's first round or even down a little bit in the draft. They've got some draft capital here to spend on a quarterback, the likes of which you don't often get. So I guess that would be number one. Number two, with that in mind, aren't you looking also for a veteran quarterback to play alongside that rookie draft pick, mentor him, yes, show him the ropes, yes, and how much are you willing to spend on that mentor type bridge quarterback, as people say?
Right.
Are you willing to spend the kind of money that Kirk Cousins is likely to command? I'm not. Be surprised if the Bills are.
Right.
What do you think?
I'm not. I don't want to trade away everything. I don't want to spend that type of money for a Kirk Cousins. I'd rather you get one of these guys, like I said, from Minnesota, possibly trade for Nick Foles, depending on what happens here in the Super Bowl. His command might go up a little bit higher if he wins it. Matter of fact, it will go up if he wins that Super Bowl. I'd be on board for something like that. but not Kirk Cousins, not what he wants to get paid. I don't even care if it's bonus money. I just don't think – I don't know if he and we always talk about worth, and we know what worth is in this league. It's really what they're willing to pay you, but I just don't – I don't think you should get into the ballpark of paying him $25, $27 million a year. I think you should stay where you – and we keep talking about this draft capital. I'm sitting here looking at the draft order, and you think about the teams in the top 10 that need quarterbacks, and you look at Cleveland, the Giants. Well, Cleveland has two picks. You got the Giants, you got Denver, the Jets. All need quarterbacks in the top 10 picks, and I don't see any of those teams moving out. You might be able to possibly – I mean, how far are you going to move up? It's going to take a lot to truly move up into the top 10, and people are like, you got to do what you got to do. Well, you got so many holes on this team. What are you willing to do? If you just trade away everything just to get that quarterback, you're really trading away so much for what you just worked so hard to pick up, all of those draft picks.
And are any of these quarterbacks worthy of
thing.
That kind of thing?
Which one of these guys coming out in the draft, if you're going to trade that far up to get one of these guys – he better be a starter day one, and he better be the franchise guy, because you just traded away a lot of draft picks to get that guy and possibly players on your team right now. So I feel like you should just go ahead, find one of these bridge guys, not Kirk Cousins, and then stay where you are and draft somebody. Even if you got to move – and it's always going to be about how the draft plays out. But even if there's a guy still sitting there somewhere in the teens, maybe you can move up a couple of picks, but – you start getting up to trying to move from 2021 to top 10, man, you know how much you're about to give away in the draft where you have this year.
And next.
Right. And you have so many holes on your team. You have so many free agents. You don't know if you're going to be able to sign these guys. Well, you will know by the draft. But, I mean, you got a lot of holes that you need to fill. You got a lot of positions that need a lot of depth. So I think you need to go ahead and use all of that draft capital to just make your team a lot better. Find one of these bridge guys that you won't have to pay $25 million a year. Draft one of these kids, not in the top 10. Draft somebody, you know, Mason Rudolph, one of those kids, if you like him, and go ahead and help to develop that kid.
Draft landscape changed a little bit last night when Alex Smith went to Washington. Kirk Cousins likely to shake loose. And how does that impact the Bills? What should the Bills' next step be? Give us a call, 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Here is James in Amherst.
Hey,
James, how you doing?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yep.
Yes, sir.
Yep.
Okay, just a second. Let me take it off speaker.
All right. Oh, darn it. Okay. Yeah, I was calling to, talk about the trade first and foremost. That does change things. That basically shows that the Redskins aren't at all interested in Kirk Cousins or his asking price. And I was thinking that maybe once he gets on the open market, you know, they'll actually reveal what his real price is, because everybody knows he's, you know, not worth $30 million a year. So, but that's one thing. But then, you know, there's a bunch of free agents that we may be able to sign. Nick Foles is one of them. And
he's not a free agent, though. He's got another year.
You have to trade for Nick Foles.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you'd have to trade.
That was a good job by Jeff Lurie and team over there in Philly.
Which is not to say the Eagles are likely to entertain trade offers for Nick Foles. He's a valuable commodity now.
He is a valuable commodity.
Yeah, especially if he wins on Sunday, like you said.
Yeah.
And that's a possibility as well. They got the formula with that front four to beat Brady in the big game. So we'll see how that goes. But there are a lot of options. The draft, you know, sticking where you are, trading up. That's why we got, two first and two second-round picks.
Yep, and one third.
Yeah, we can trade up and get one of those top four or six quarterbacks if we want to. Tyrod, get one
think?
Of the agents. So there's a lot of options.
I don't know if they can trade. Donald pointed this out. To make a move from 21 up to you're going to get top
seven.
Six, seven,
yeah.
You're going to have to give up probably a first-rounder next year. And, you know, your first-rounder this year, both of your first-rounders this year, and maybe even a premium pick next year to make a move like that.
It's crazy because – when you're not the person in that room having to make that decision, you know, where really, to be honest, we all know as a GM and as a coach, when you make decisions like that, you are putting your career on the line.
Sure.
And so you go ahead and trade away your first rounders this year, trade away your first round next year to get this kid, and everybody's excited, and then this kid is a total bust. Then what happens? Now everybody's looking at you because you made the decision, and everybody is like, well, what happened? You traded away the whole draft. You got this kid. It's like you can't win for losing in that situation.
More likely to me than the kid, a premium draft pick this year, quarterback, being a total bust, I think is the fact that, this guy's going to need some time. This guy's going to need some
that
development.
Too.
Do we put, now you got to decide, do we have the patience to do that? Do we have the patience to bring this guy along? Maybe not start him right out of the box. Maybe not start him at all as a rookie. Jared Goff.
Right.
Sit on him for a year. A year ago at this time, people are looking at the Rams like, what a terrible mistake.
What a terrible mistake.
Oh, they missed out on Wentz.
Right.
Well, Jared Goff is not just serviceable. He's a pretty good quarterback with the right coaching and the right setup.
And they got some extra weapons around him.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the biggest thing. You bring in one of these young kids, you sit him. Or if you want to put him in right away, you got to make sure you got the weapons around him for him to be able to flourish as a quarterback. Last year, the Eagles – did they put Carson Wentz in right away? Was he day one?
Pretty much. Didn't he win it in training camp? I think he did.
So, but then because he started out the season hot,
and
then he kind of just fell off. And I remember talking to Frank Reich, and he said they felt like they had something moving forward. Jared Goff was a kid that they made sit. They got some extra weapons this past year in free agency, like Robert Woods, and they brought in Sammy, and it really helped him. And then they got the right coach in there, and it really helped him moving forward. So you got to ask yourself, are we willing to trade up, give away all of these draft picks for this kid to sit right now? Because he's not really ready. Which one of these quarterbacks are really ready to come in day one and be a starter?
I don't know.
And if you're willing to trade up that far, I feel like you need to play him from day one.
Yeah. David calling from Lockport. Hello, David. Go ahead.
Brockport.
Brockport. My bad.
You always get that wrong.
Yeah, I say trade for Nick Foles. A week and a half ago, number one defense, he just threw downfield, and we wanted the downfield quarterback for a long time. And Nick Foles, is going to win the Super Bowl, and he's not going to want to be behind Wentz next year.
Well, the Eagles are going to be able to command a pretty steep asking price for Nick Foles,
regardless
of whether they win. If they win, it'll be bigger, I guess.
Would you trade – now you're just throwing darts, but would you be in the position of trading Tyrod and a couple of draft picks for Nick Foles? Not first-round draft picks, but some draft picks for Nick Foles.
I don't know, man. See, I am one of those people who think Tyrod has some value here. So we talked about you get a third, maybe a fourth for Tyrod.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, I think Tyrod's more valuable here than he probably would be anywhere else just because of familiarity with playing here. It'll be a different offense. But still, I think he'd be more valuable here because of his familiarity with some of his teammates and what's expected here. But how much of an upgrade are we looking for here? We're looking for a caretaker quarterback, a bridge quarterback, as people say.
I just think you need an upgrade in your passing game.
Yeah.
So it's been a few years now where we've seen the same Tyrod. And so how much of an upgrade in your passing game do you want to get? We always want to get to number one, but if you can at least just get up to middle of the pack, somewhere 15, 16 in your passing game, I'd be okay with that with the bridge quarterback while you develop this young kid.
Yeah. Let's go to Kevin in Buffalo who has a different idea, and there's a lot of ideas out there for what the Bills should do at quarterback. Kevin in Buffalo, what do you think?
Hey, guys, how you doing today?
Good.
Good.
Hey, I think that we should take a shot at Cousins because you don't have to give anything away to get him. It's a financial commitment. There's no giving up pick. And then if you don't get him, I say you go after like a Riley Ferguson from Memphis in the later rounds and develop him. Because we have some other holes that we need to address.
No question.
Yeah.
But they are trying to get better at quarterback.
Yeah.
And I don't know that a late draft pick is going to –
You never know.
We get tweets on this all the time. What about Nathan Peterman? Yeah. You have to think, with the year here and with the regard that the coaching staff has for Nathan Peterman, he's not going to be tossed to the curb. His first year counts. His first year counts with this coaching staff. And although I'm not ready to, I'd be reluctant to sign up for him as the starting quarterback on opening day in 2018. He has something to say about this question. Who do you want to see a quarterback next year, don't you think?
Yeah, I would think he's going to be on the roster next year. They drafted him. They want to develop him. So I would think he's going to be on the roster, but I don't think he, unless he truly is just lights out in training camp and in the preseason games, I wouldn't think that he would be your day one starter. I would think it's going to be a veteran of some sort.
Yeah.
Unless they do something crazy and they trade up that far to get one of these kids. But I think it's going to be a veteran of some sort, whether that's Tyrod Taylor or another free agent quarterback out here. I would think that person is going to be the day one starter, unless Nathan Peterman just blows it out of the water or they draft somebody and he blows it out of the water.
So the quarterback question got a little bit more interesting with last night's news with Alex Smith getting the deal to go to Washington. Kirk Cousins likely to shake loose in free agency. A little more interesting for the Buffalo Bills and those other quarterback needy teams, not just the Bills, Denver, the Jets, Arizona, Cleveland, all of them probably in the market for quarterbacks. I don't know what Minnesota's going to do. That's worth watching. We're going to continue to talk about this today. How does it change for the Bills now that Alex Smith is off the market? And we'll take more phone calls on this at 803-0550. And toll-free from outside Buffalo, 1-888-550-2550. It is Super Bowl week out in Minnesota. The game coming up on Sunday, the Eagles with Nick Foles and the New England Patriots. Steve Tasker is our man covering the Super Bowl for us in Minnesota. And we join him now at the Radio Row Mall of America in Bloomington, Minnesota. Take it away, Steve.
Thanks, Murph. Ike, talk to me. I want to know what it's like in Philly with the city and the team getting the Super Bowl, because, you know, they've been there a couple of times before, have come away with a loss.
Yeah.
Believe me, I can relate.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, tell me about how the city's taking this team, how they like this team. What's the vibe?
Very excited, obviously, right now. Team has exceeded all of our expectations. I think that sort of adds a different excitement to it, you know, that was different than when I played.
Right.
And, we got back to the conference championship game several times, so it almost became a burden to get there and expect it. So,
it's nice for the fans to be surprised.
Yeah, and it's been a pleasant surprise. From the beginning of the season, watching Carson develop into what he did in his second year, having an MVP-caliber season, to losing him and this team sort of being galvanized by that, sort of taking on the underdog mentality. And, we in Philly, we love the underdog role.
Yeah.
We relish that. So, I think that's certainly played into it. And I think that's made the run that more special because it wasn't expected. And the fact that we did lose Carson and the team has still managed to get here, it's made it a special run.
Now, early in the season, obviously, it's all gone away now. Doug Peterson was under fire. I said, he's not – he doesn't have that person. He's whatever, what the critics were. What was the harshest criticism coming out early in the season about Peterson and his being a head coach?
Yeah, well, I think the quotes have become – somewhat famous or infamous now
that
he's here in the Super Bowl, that Mike Lombardi came out prior to the season beginning and said that, in his 30 years of being around the league, that he felt that Doug was arguably the most least qualified person to be a head coach. And that struck a chord, struck a chord, obviously, with the team, and they sort of rallied around it. And I think, quite frankly, it put a bullseye on Doug that they shouldn't be there. You know, he's in his second year. I've always had confidence in him. And I think the team, especially in the beginning part of the season, sort of used it as a way to sort of get behind Doug and play even harder for him. Because that's the one thing that's never been in question. If you're around this team, is that they've never wavered in their faith in Doug Peterson as a head coach.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. You're familiar with the guys and acquainted with the players, and I'm getting a vibe out of their locker room that it's a really close-knit group. And it never starts out that way because you know who the new guys are.
Sure.
And you kind of got to find that out. But the coaching staff that I've heard talk have gushed about the quality of guys they have in the locker room, and it's starting to come through that as talented as the team is, they're even better than that talent because they love and respect each other.
I think that's the biggest surprise for me, looking in from the outside, is that it normally takes years. You guys had it in Buffalo with the run.
Took a long time.
It takes years to build that, and Doug's only in his second year, and we flipped the roster over again this offseason after his first year, brought in guys like LeGarrette Blount, Torrey Smith, Alshon Jeffrey, even traded for Jay Ajayi. It really just speaks to the character in the locker room. Guys like Malcolm Jenkins, Brent Celek, Jason Kelce, Jason Peters, these guys that have been here for years and have established this culture, that they've been able to embrace the new guys. The new guys bring their experience and their maturity to the locker room as well. And it's turned into arguably one of the more phenomenal sort of characteristic traits of the team
right.
that I see is the fact that these guys are still relatively new to each other, but they've been able to come together, and there hasn't been 1 ounce of friction
right.
on the team all year long.
Well, let's talk about that. I mean, how do you see this game coming in? Because it'd be easy to because it is a great team. They're talented, well coached. They're playing on an uptick. With or without Carson Wentz, with Nick Foles playing the way, particularly the way he played in the conference championship where he lit it up, this is a team that would be rolling in. People say, man, they're going to win. They're the team. But now all of a sudden they're rolling in against, you know, Tom Brady and Bill Belichick, and they're defending champions, and now they're back again. So it's not like you're rolling in against a team that has caught lightning in a bottle.
Sure.
And, you know, you don't really know how good they are. These guys are never in the middle of a bad game.
No.
So how do you see the game going like that?
Well, I think it's going to be a classic Patriots Super Bowl game. They're all nip and tuck, tight, go down to the wire. And I see it being that way again. I just see the outcome being different. You know, I think this team and the Eagles, they're not in awe of having to play the Patriots. Just listening to them speak the first couple of days they've been out here, they've enjoyed it, but they haven't overindulged in the whole Super Bowl experience. So they still remain focused on the task at hand. And I think that's going to help them out. I think if you can get off to a good start, you certainly don't want to get down to this Patriots team early. You get off to a good start and make sure that you're in this thing in the fourth quarter. This team has played close games. It has, and has been able to come out of those games with victories. This is a different monster to have to conquer. But I like our chances. I really do.
Yeah, and I think one thing that helps them, and this is what helped, I think, the Giants in their two Super Bowls against the Patriots. NFC East is a marquee division.
Yeah.
You got New York, Washington, Philly, and Dallas. Big cities with a long history. Yeah. They've got the 1932 fight song that they sing, the Fly Eagles Fly,
and
Bear, like the Chicago Bears, Bear Down, and the Giants song, and the Washington Redskins song, Hail to the Redskins. They got the old songs. I mean, it's old school. So to walk into a game against another team, you play one of those, you play those old-time, traditional, big rivalries throughout the division. So does that somehow prepare this team, this Philly team, for being in that kind of game?
I really think it does. You know, playing in the Northeast and playing in the NFC East,
right?
In the market that this team plays in, I think it prepares them well for a spectacle like this. Now, obviously, it's the Super Bowl and it's the grandest stage of them all. But I think playing in a media-driven market that the Eagles are in, they're under the spotlight week in and week out, day in and day out. So
it's different.
I think the nerves will be it'll be interesting how Nick comes out and plays.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Because I think that's the key, really. The defense, I think they'll be fine. If Nick is settled down early in the game, that bodes well for
us. I think you're right. And you got to picture that staff meeting for the Philadelphia coaching staff with Peterman and Peter and Frank Reich.
Yeah.
Their coaching staff, I think job one is to get him started nice, get him a couple of completions, get him into the flow of the game. How important do you think that is? Because, you know how it is. You get in there, one bad thing goes, then you think you got to make up for the third play of the game.
Yeah.
Well, you don't really. Just relax and play.
And that's what he's been able to do.
Right.
And I'll tell you, when Carson went down, there wasn't another player on this team that had a bigger spotlight magnifying glass placed on them than Nick Foles.
Sure.
And so in Philadelphia, you know how that is.
Right.
And but he's handled it first class, obviously. I think it took him a few games to get his rhythm down, get his confidence up. Coming off of that game against the Minnesota Vikings, I have no concerns about Nick. I think Nick has found his mojo again. He's going to be confident coming into the game. I expect it to be a good game. I really do, and I think we pull out a close one late.
We're here in Minneapolis with Ike Reese, former Philadelphia Eagle. Tell me this. What do you think about Minneapolis as a Super Bowl city? I mean, it is cold out. We got snow last night, but now, as you can see, we're sitting in we're like in a greenhouse here. It's like a sun. What do you think about having the Super Bowl in a cold city rather than on a beach?
I love it. I love it. I wish it was outside. I wish they could play outside. I really do. I like
you're alone in that battle, man. Because not me.
Well,
I live in Buffalo. I'm ready for a dome.
You know good cold weather. But yeah, I like the idea of doing it. They'll never play it outside.
No,
but
I
like the idea of doing it. And quite frankly, I've been here 2 days and I still haven't seen this entire mall yet.
I know. I'm
I mean,
with you. I walked around for like an hour and a half yesterday, right? And I'm like, I think I've seen everything. Then you see this hallway going back in another direction. I'm like, well, what's back there? You're right. You can spend a week in this joint.
This is a big place.
Ike Reese, thanks for coming on with us.
My pleasure.
Appreciate
Steve.
It. We'll send it back to you guys, brother, in the studio.
Steve Tasker at the Super Bowl with Ike Reese, veteran, former NFL linebacker with the Eagles, 9 years in the league, 7 years with Philadelphia, a couple of years after that. Interesting take. He obviously follows the Eagles pretty closely. Mm-hmm. They're optimistic, I think, in Philadelphia about their chances, because, and they should be.
Well, guys like Ike Reese have covered the team all year long, yeah. And we really, if you're not in Philadelphia, all you really pay attention to is Carson Wentz. Carson Wentz not playing, they have no chance. Nick Foles is playing, they have no chance. But they cover that team like we cover the Bills, so he knows that is a good defense out there. That is a very good run game out there. Nick Foles, all he has to do is not lose them the game, and they'll be okay. If he doesn't lose them the game and they don't make the mistakes, they can beat this Patriots team that, even though they're here, even though they had the great record this year, you don't look at that team and say, man, they're unbeatable. You know, because you've seen teams do it this year, like the Dolphins without Gronk. I get all of that stuff. But I feel like the Eagles, they have a entire team collectively as a group. They have a very good team. And so that's why guys or people who are in Philadelphia, fans are covering the team, are optimistic about it.
I like what Frank Reich told Steve Tasker yesterday about Philadelphia's offense. He said, like a basketball team that does not have a 30-point per game scorer, but they have a lot of weapons, and they spread it around a lot. And even Foles has been able to do that. I think it's going to be a pretty interesting game coming up on Sunday. Steve with Ike Reese from the Super Bowl City. Coming up next, we're going to continue quarterback talk in a moment or two, but we do want to take a step back and talk with Ryan Groy, who is on the Buffalo roster now as a center, an option at center now with Eric Wood playing days coming to an end. Ryan Groy will join us when we return. The John Murphy Show from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Yep, we're back. John Murphy, Donald Jones in our One Buffalo studio back in Orchard Park, New York. Steve Tasker standing by at Super Bowl site. And we're going to talk with Steve again, I think, later on in the show. He's got an interview with Ryan Leaf. You know that name, Donald?
I know that name.
Just checking. Yeah. Steve with Ryan Leaf coming up next hour here on the show. Hope to get Aaron Williams on the show coming up at 2 o'clock. And joining us right now on the Subway Fresh Take Hotline, a man who is still on the Buffalo roster and figures to have a fairly prominent role moving forward. Happy to have Bills offensive lineman Ryan Groy on the Subway Fresh Take Hotline. Hello, Ryan. Are you there?
Yeah.
Hey, how's Ryan. Thanks for joining us. John Murphy and Donald Jones here back in Orchard Park. You are back home now, right, out in Wisconsin these days?
Yep. Just got back into Wisconsin yesterday.
So you were here Monday for Eric Wood's announcement, and it turned into more of a get-together, a reunion more than anything, with both the current and former Bills players, huh?
Yeah, you know, there was a lot of great support. Eric told us, you know, that week that he was going to have the announcement, and, you know, I obviously was going to be there for him and support him and his family, and you know, I had to get up there.
Ryan, what's it like for you to see a guy like Eric have guys come in who he played with in the past, years ago, but he has these guys coming in? Does that change your mindset in any way?
I mean, it's outstanding. It just shows, you know, what kind of guy he is and, you know, what he did for, you know, not only the people on the team that he was with, that he's with now, but, you know, the guys that he played with before. You know, he obviously has a huge impact, you know, on and off the field, and, you know, it was awesome, the support.
Ryan, why was it important for you to come here on Monday to be there for Eric Wood's announcement?
You know, he's done so much for me as far as, you know, not only being a great friend, but, you know, a mentor, and he's helped me so much along the way, and, you know, I had to show my support, and, you know, in my way, my point of view is, you know, a great way to thank him for what he's done and, you know, help him out, you know, however I could.
I wonder if we can dive into that a little bit. What does that mentorship look like? I mean, when you say Eric's done so much for me and helped me along, what does that look like? Is that football stuff? Is that in the film room, on the field, at practice? Is it off the field? What's that mentorship look like, Ryan?
I mean, it's truly everything. A lot of it's, you know, me, you know, picking his brains as far as how he's thinking when he's on the field, how he's preparing for, you know, everything as far as him getting his body right for the season or getting, you know, his body right during the off season, what he's doing, you know, kind of in every aspect of being a true professional, I was trying to absorb as much as I could.
Ryan, it's the thing is, the interesting thing is, guys will be mentors in different ways. You have certain guys who are like, hey, just pay attention to what I do. I don't really have the time to teach you and talk to you about everything, but just pay attention to everything that I do. You have Eric Wood, who seems like a guy who would actually come to you and talk to you. You probably had a good relationship. You're friends with him, so you could talk to him. But do you feel like now, as you're getting to an older, or I guess a little bit older stage in your career, that it's obligation to speak to younger guys or mentor younger guys? What's that dynamic about?
You know, I learned it when I was a rookie, and obviously still learning it as I go. But, you know, when I was a rookie in Chicago, you know, all the older guys, they took you under their wing, and, you know, they didn't care if you were potentially taking their spot or if, you know, they were their backup. You know, they wanted what's best for the team. And, you know, I took a lot of stuff from those guys, and, you know, a lot of stuff from Eric and Richie, you know, when I got to Buffalo. And, you know, it really is, you know, every aspect of, you know, being a professional. It's how to watch film. It's how to, you know, how to prepare and how to go about practice and how to go about, you know, games. It's every aspect. And some guys do it, whether it's, you know, just watching them, but I like to do a little bit of both. You know, I'll pick their brains. I'll just watch them, you know, individually and how they go about their business.
We're with Ryan Groy, Bills offensive lineman. He was here Monday for Eric Wood's announcement. And, Ryan, you know, people look at the depth chart and they look at you, next name on the depth chart at center. Have you thought about that much? Were you anticipating? Obviously, the Wood news came as a surprise, but as soon as you found out about that, did something click in like, whoa, this could be my role now?
Yeah, you know, it's kind of going along the lines of how I've always prepared. You know, being a backup in this league, you have to prepare as a starter, and that's just the bottom line because you never know what's going to happen. Obviously, 2016, when Eric broke his leg, you know, I had to come in there and play center, and those were my first true starts at center. I'd had a lot of work before, but, you know, you always have to be ready for the worst-case scenario, and obviously both of these are the worst-case scenario, and that's just how it is.
Ryan, I was when I first got in, I was a special teams guy, and then midway through the first season, I became a starter due to injury, and I kept that spot. But what's it like as a backup, and the guy who I actually took his spot, I was good friends with. So what's it like when you actually are good friends with somebody, and you know at some point something could happen because it's football, and then something does happen. Like, how do you handle that mentally?
I mean, you just have to look at it as, you know, it's the nature of the beast. And you're all working for one common goal, and that's, you know, to win a championship. And you have to do whatever it is to prepare and whatever it is to, you know, go in if somebody goes down. And that's kind of just how I've always looked at it. And that's just, you know, it's obviously too bad. You know, I told Eric when he let me know the news, and I'm like, you know, it's honestly too bad that, you know, everything that happens that's so terrible for you, you know, in some kind of light helps me out in my, you know, in my career. And, you know, and he was just texting me back, and, you know, he's just telling me, you know, yeah, it's the nature of the beast. So that's kind of how it always goes.
Yeah. I was just thinking that's life in the NFL, right? One man's misfortune turns into an opportunity, at least for somebody else, right? You've been around long enough in the league to know that, I would think, Ryan, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, there's not many guys in this league that have come in right away and been a starter and, you know, not had to go in after somebody gets hurt. You know, it's kind of how everybody's gotten their role. And, you know, somebody has to go down or somebody has to, I guess, be out of that spot in order for them to get their shot. So that's just kind of how it goes. And, you know, obviously it's very unfortunate. You know, I'm just going to go into the season preparing as a starter, and who knows? You know, anything can happen. But I'm just going to, you know, work hard in the offseason and prepare as I'm a starter, kind of how I even did last year. So.
With Ryan Groy, who is on the Bills depth chart now as the starting center, you would think. Hey, Ryan, Eric got hurt 2016 season. You started the seven games that finished up the season. The Rams made the offer sheet. The Bills matched it, brought you back here. Did you anticipate you would have a bigger role than what you actually had in 2017? You got the one start as an extra tight end at Tampa or against Tampa, and a lot of work as an extra offensive lineman. But did you think there was going to be more playing time for you this past season than there actually was?
I mean, you know, selfishly, I hoped for it. You know, obviously, you don't want to. I'm going to do whatever I can to help the team, and that's, you know, the bottom line and how I looked at it. But you know, it ended up just me being this wing guy, and you know, it is hard having, you know, to play both centers when you only have two centers on the roster that are active. You know, it's hard to have them both in. You know, if somebody goes down and you have one center, and you either have to bring somebody in or bring somebody up from practice squad, and you know, you don't know who's available. So I understand both sides of it. And, you know, like I said, I was prepared like I was going to be starting or, you know, whatever I could for my role.
Ryan, what's it like being a swing offensive lineman, whether it's guard? I mean, you've played a lot of different positions throughout your career, but do you ever feel like you don't really get a chance to settle down on one and perfect one position?
Yeah. I mean, that's definitely true. You know, you do everything you can to prepare for all the positions. And this year we did a great job with it. Richie had his veteran days and his days, you know, to rest. And I improved a lot as a guard, you know, getting in, practicing those days that he wasn't there. And it helped playing next to, you know, other guys because, you know, if he'd have gone down, he went down in the playoff game for a little bit. And, you know, that helped me obviously go in there and, you know, do whatever I could to, you know, help us go down and, I mean, try to go down and score. I guess we ended up punting on that one. But, you know, obviously you have to prepare in every situation.
Hey, Ryan, the offseason is underway, a month into your offseason now. This changes things a little bit. But what's the rest of it look like? What do you have planned for, the couple of months you get here? And is a trip to the Derby with Eric Wood in your plans, do you think, down the road?
No, we aren't going to go to the Derby this year.
What?
No, my wife is pregnant. She's due June 4th, so... Yeah, we're gonna take a little time off, and obviously this month here is a little bit of, you know, relaxing your body and your mind, and just been working out a little bit and trying to stay on top of everything, but a little more relaxing than it was, you know, last off season.
Yeah, well, good luck with the baby. Thanks for spending a few minutes with us here today, and we'll talk to you soon, Ryan. Thanks.
Sounds great, guys. Thank you.
Ryan Groy, Bills center on the Subway Fresh Take Hotline. Subway, eat fresh. Back with more in a moment. Your thoughts. We got a lot of opinions on what the next move should be with the Bills at quarterback with the news that Alex Smith is going to Washington. We'll talk about that when we return. The John Murphy Show from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Welcome back, John Murphy, Donald Jones in our One Buffalo studio here. Coming up at the top of the hour, Aaron Williams, who officially, formally announced his retirement, is going to join us on the Subway Fresh Take Hotline. He wrote an open letter to the fans of Buffalo. We'll talk with Aaron about that coming up in about 10 minutes. Aaron Williams, when we come back in the next hour. Steve Tasker will head back to the Super Bowl a couple of times in the third and final hour of the show. Steve sat down with Ryan Leaf, and we'll have that interview. And plus, we want to get Steve's thoughts on the quarterback talk and on where the Bills go from here with the Alex Smith trade. Plus, Steve's got a heck of a show lined up for tomorrow. We want him to give a chance to promo that. In the meantime, let's talk with you. The phone line's open, 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-550-2550, or via Twitter at John Murphy Show. Quarterbacks, now that Alex Smith is with Washington, what does that mean to Buffalo? Chuck is on the line. Chuck, go ahead. You're on the air.
Yes, I hope Kansas City sends us Christmas cards every year because – he gave up our future quarterback to them. I think they should have never have did what they did. We should have taken Mahomes last year.
Hey, well, what do you like about Mahomes, I wonder, Chuck, having not really seen him play in the NFL?
I've seen him in college a little bit, and I thought when we had a chance to get him, we should have taken him. Because right now we're scrambling – and worked down a year because he could have sat that last year. And if he would have sat that last year, we would have been up one fold this year. And I'll guarantee you, when we sat down Tyrod, he would have never gotten his job back.
That's a heck of a guarantee. I will say this. Mahomes was on their draft board. You and I talked to Doug Whaley the day before the draft, the day of the draft. They held Mahomes in high regard.
They did.
And they didn't, they gave up the chance to get him. No question about that. Do you guarantee that he would have not come out of the lineup? I don't know. He came out of the Chiefs lineup.
Look, Mahomes, well, it's yet to be seen if Mahomes could be a great quarterback. Right now, you're just looking at potential with his size.
Right.
That's really – he had one good game. He had a good college career, but you can't look at that because the dude played in an offense that was drawn up by a baby. No, I'm just playing. But he has the size where you can develop that, his tools and everything. He has the arm strength. You can develop that, and we'll see if Andy Reid can get that done, if Mahomes will be a star player. And if he is – and the Bills are still trying to find that quarterback in another 3 years or something like that, then, yeah, you'll be able to say, man, they had a chance to get Mahomes, yeah. and they traded back and got Tre'Davious White.
Chiefs are going to be intriguing. Are they prepared, if they have to take a step back with Pat Mahomes as opposed to Alex Smith this year? I wonder how – they might not have to. He might be great.
Yeah.
He might not.
He has – the biggest thing is he has weapons. He has speed out there. He can get the ball deep because he has the weapons on the outside. He had the good game, and that's, I guess that was enough for Andy Reid.
Mm-hmm.
Just that one good game and what he's shown in practice all throughout the course of the year that he can pick up on the NFL offense. He wasn't just playing in that wide-open offense. He has the knowledge and everything. That must have been enough for them to move on from Alex Smith. Alex Smith had a good year for them. Even though he didn't win the playoff game, even though he had a bad stretch, he was playing at an MVP caliber. The dude threw for over 4,000 yards. So he had a good year for them. So for them to move on just shows you that they feel like this kid is ready. And if he's ready, if he's truly ready, maybe they won't have to take a step back.
Yeah.
If he's not ready, it's definitely going to be a step back for them, though.
It's going to be fun to watch Kansas City, Washington with Alex Smith, and maybe even the Buffalo Bills with whoever is under center for them. We'll talk more about this in the third and final hour of the show. We're going to go back to the Super Bowl, too. Steve Tasker will talk with a quarterback who was pretty highly regarded, Ryan Leaf, back in the day. And we'll get Steve's thoughts on that. Plus, Aaron Williams, Bills, former Bills safety, who wrote an open letter to Bills fans, published today in the Players Tribune, in which he says he blew it in his first 2 years in Buffalo. We'll be live with Aaron Williams when we come back after the top of the hour. It is the John Murphy Show from One Bills Drive, and this is Buffalo Bills Radio.
Radio Network Sports Update.
The update comes from One Bills Drive. The Bills players off and the coaching staff with a move made yesterday. The coaching staff, a new secondary coach, John Butler, added to the Buffalo coaching roster as the defensive backfield coach. Butler, 44 years of age, spent the last four seasons as the defensive backfield coach for the Houston Texans. His appointment to the Buffalo staff announced yesterday. Texans, a couple of years ago, allowed the fifth lowest opponent completion percentage in the National Football League. John Butler, who went to high school with Bills' current head coach Sean McDermott, is now Buffalo's defensive backs coach. The Bills announcing also that they have hired John Butler and replaced Gil Bird, who spent 1 year as the defensive backfield coach in Buffalo. Former Bills safety Aaron Williams officially announced his retirement today in a letter to Bills fans published by the Players Tribune. He has not played since October of 2016, hit by Jarvis Landry in that illegal crackback block. We'll hear more from Aaron Williams standing by to join us live on the Subway Fresh Take Hotline in a moment. NFL trade last night, the Washington Redskins going with Alex Smith with their quarterback of the future. A big trade last night. Redskins and Kansas City reached an agreement in principle that will be consummated when the new league year begins on March 14th. Washington gives Smith the four-year contract extension worth $94 million, a whopping $71 million in guarantees in that deal. Thursday Night Football changing networks once again. The NFL says the package will go to Fox for the next five seasons. Contract entitles Fox to broadcast 11 games on Thursday nights, and the money went up in the deal between Fox and the NFL. Buffalo Sabres on the ice for practice today, getting set to host the Florida Panthers tomorrow night. Faceoff scheduled for 7 o'clock. Sabres had their three-game win streak snapped last night with the loss against the Devils. College basketball, St. Bonaventure on the road at George Mason tonight after a couple of home wins last week. And the UB Bulls had their nine-game win streak snapped with an 82-79 loss at Kent State last night. That is the update from One Bills Drive. John Murphy, Donald Jones here. We're going to head back to the Super Bowl and Steve Tasker coming up a little bit later on this hour. But it's been a week of players stepping down, retirements here at One Bills Drive, and the latest came today in an open letter written to Buffalo Bills fans, published in the Players Tribune, written by our guest right now on the Subway Fresh Take Hotline. Happy to have now former Bills defensive back Aaron Williams on the line with us. Aaron, good afternoon. John Murphy and Donald Jones here in Buffalo. How are you doing? We miss you here.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Long time no talk to you.
Yeah, good to talk to you. Good to hear your voice, and good to read your open letter in the Players' Tribune. It had to be difficult to write that, Aaron, and it sounds like you did a great deal of introspection and self-examination before you wrote that article in the Players' Tribune.
Well, I appreciate that. It was very hard. It took a lot of there's a lot of emotion going on through the whole process of writing this article. I wanted to sit down and actually take time and evaluate everything that happened through the last 6 years in Buffalo. And I try not to miss everybody that was important to me, that got me to the journey where I'm at today. And hopefully I got everybody that, you know, feels like they were a part of it. If not, you know, I'm telling you guys now, thank you guys so much, City of Buffalo. John, even you, man. Donald, even you when you were playing. I appreciate you guys, everything you've done. John, always allow me to be on your show and sure. Allow him to express my opinions and everything. So, but yeah, it was hard, but at the same time, it comes time where every athlete has a time clock, and unfortunately, mine just happened to be today. So, it's part of it, and just got to move on from it.
Aaron, of course, we've had a chance to speak on multiple occasions about your injury and what you want to do moving forward. But at what point did you come to grips with, man, this might be it?
Week 16 after the last game, I told myself that I'd give myself a whole year to just give myself another chance to get an opportunity to play for another team. And I stuck in there for a long year. And it's, Donald, for somebody that's kind of been in my position, you know how hard it is to be on the side, watch people play, and trying to maintain that your the way you play, the way you go out there and do what you do. It's hard to keep and maintain that speed, that strength, and everything. So it was hard, and but that timetable came and expired. So it was just, you know, I had to accept it and kind of move on and get ready for the next chapter of my life.
Former Bill safety Aaron Williams on the line with us, who made his retirement official today in an article published by the Players Tribune. I would encourage Bills fans to take a look at this, thePlayersTribune.com. An open letter, really, to fans of Buffalo. And you start, I don't want you to recap the whole article or go through it, Aaron, but you make it pretty clear that you felt like you owed Bills fans an apology. And that's how you start this this post. Can you tell us why you felt that way?
I just felt like we got on the wrong foot. You know, I was very new and very young at the time when I came to the city. And, you know, there was a lot of things I saw before getting to league that I thought that I was chasing for. And I thought when I had it that it would be amazing. And come to find out, it's really not all that what it cracks up to be. You know, the little things in life are what really matter. Seeing people smile and be happy and feel encouraged and to just have them be better in their lives, just to be a great role model. That's what really mattered to me in life. And after I realized those first 2 years, I see how much I was, you know, giving out to the community and just trying to make people's lives just a tad bit better. You know, everybody goes through things in life, but I wanted to be that positive guy to come in someone's life and try to boost them up, you know, more than anything else.
Aaron, you feel like a lot of players come into the NFL the way you did when you get drafted in. I mean, really, all you're so bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. All you want to do is play football at a high level. You think about everything that's going on. You're living in the moment, possibly partying, doing whatever it is that you do in the off season or on your off days. But do you feel like guys really understand the moment that they're in and embrace it?
No, man, not at all. And I don't think you really can. I mean, even when we go through the things like the rookie symposium, we have all these veteran guys coming back and telling us to really cherish the moment and to understand that what we have is something truly special, and it's such a blessing that when we're in that business, when we're, you know, playing, going to practice and meetings and game days, we don't really cherish the moments. Like, we don't really see what it's like when we don't have it. So, I mean, you can tell a guy cherishes the moment as much as you want to, but once that moment, once that time is gone, you know, it's kind of hard. That's when you're like, man, I wish I enjoyed that experience a little bit more. But, I mean, that's just growing in life, I feel like. So I feel like every athlete or every football player does have that reality, that dream, that kind of fantasy world of having the fame and the money. But at the end of the day, life is so much more than that.
Aaron, you talk in your article written for the Players Tribune how your first 2 years in Buffalo, you apologized for them. You felt like you said you weren't really feeling Buffalo, and you thought maybe fans weren't really feeling you or getting you. But something changed after a couple of years in. What happened? What changed your perception then?
Just, you know, reevaluated my life. You know, what was important to me, what made me happy. You know, the things that I thought would make me happy didn't make me happy at all. So I kind of had to just reevaluate my values and what I was looking for in life. And, you know, seeing kids come when I warm up, when I was playing and I was warming up, it was so much fun, man, bringing kids and just teenagers or even adults to come on the field with me and just warm up, just to see that brightness in their smile, just to brighten their day for that maybe 10 minutes or whatever it was that I had the opportunity to you know, interact with them. That was actually more fun than going to a club and spending $3,000 on bottles to make people happy. I mean, just little things like that really made me kind of switch my values and what really matters in life.
So now what, Aaron? I mean, you and I, of course, have talked about what it is that you possibly might want to do in the future. You sound like you want to do a lot of giving back and teaching the younger players. So what's in your future? Coaching, media, business, what do you have?
Horses.
Man, horses.
Horses will always be there. But honestly, man, I don't know. You understand, you've been through this. I have a few ideas, but, you know, as those ideas come into effect, sometimes those ideas just don't come through fully. You know, I've always thought about going back to baseball, thought about going acting. I thought about coaching. There's unlimited stuff that I wanted to do, and I'm gratefully have enough time. I'm still young to kind of try out these new adventures in life, and, you know, we'll see where it really takes me.
Hey, Aaron, in your letter to the Players Tribune, your letter to Bills fans, you also point out some significant people in your tenure here in Buffalo, including ownership and obviously the fans, Donnie Henderson and some of the trainers. I mean, you kind of touched a lot of bases there, and people that you thanked and people that you thought were important to your tenure here with the Bills.
Yeah.
But I wasn't in there. No, I'm just kidding.
I knew you were going to say it, man. I apologize. I knew I was going to miss a couple
players.
Nah,
it's all good, man.
But no, man, like, I went through a lot through those 6 years in Buffalo, man, and a lot of great times and a lot of crappy times. And like guys like Sean and Donald and Fred and George and Dr. Cappuccino. And I mean, the list can go on. I can go on forever, but those are the guys that really changed my life. Like I was at my second year, I was at the lowest point where I felt like that was it for me. Like 2 years in the league and that was it. But the people that I had to mention were those people that really impacted my life to where I had turned around and it made me the man who I am today. So, but it's not just the people I mentioned in the letter. It's literally everybody that I have interacted with in Buffalo in some form or fashion. Now, whether it may have been good or bad, either way, I learned a lesson out of each and every person that I've met. So I've been very grateful in the city of Buffalo.
I love the fact in your article you said Buffalo will always be the place where I grew up, where I became a man. That says a lot, doesn't it?
Yeah, man, absolutely. I mean, you know, being born in one place and then raised in another place and then, you know, living in another place, is just you come so far from being where you had a dream and then making that dream a reality and then carrying that out and then being bigger than what you thought you could be and then, you know, we're being considered a role model, man. I mean, it's just so much has gone, and I'm getting a little emotional just talking about it, just because, man, I miss the game. I miss being around y'all. I miss being around my teammates. I miss being around the game, the grass, everything I love. I just hopefully, you know, whatever happens next in my life, that I have the same drive, same attitude, same energy that I brought to you guys, and I have to thank you guys a lot for that.
Hey, Aaron, Eric Wood just retired a couple of days ago. Well,
yeah.
He's leaving football.
Thank you for clarifying that.
Right. He's leaving football. but the doctor said he won't be able to play anymore due to his neck injury. Have you had a chance to speak with him at all due to the reason why he won't be playing anymore?
No, I haven't. I had actually got the news a couple of days ago. Mm-hmm. And honestly, I didn't want to hit him up initially right then and there because I know the feeling of getting the news like that. And then everybody bombarding you with so sorry messages and, you know, empathy messages and all that. And it's a lot. And I understood him. So I just reached out to him, texted him, told him I'm very proud of his career. I was very honored to be his teammate. And I know what he's going through. And if he has any questions, man, I'm always a brother to him, no matter what the issue is. I'm always there for him, and I had to let him know that. And if he ever just wanted to talk, just life, you know, that's one thing I feel like we as players need to do a lot better job of when we retire, is, you know, help each other out in this tough time. You know, Donald, for you, I know the guys who retire, it's a tough transition, man, and it's hard, and it's a lot harder than what people think. And I just let Eric know that I'm there for him no matter what. So I haven't heard anything about why he had to retire or the discussion. I just reached out to him. I didn't want to really bother him, but just reached out to him for a little bit.
Aaron, you are a couple of weeks away from returning to Buffalo for the celebrity roast of Fred Jackson. It is 2 weeks from tomorrow, February 15th, and people are getting set for that. If you need more information, you can go to WGR550.com, their website. You're going to be on the panel. Eric Wood will be there. Brian Scott, Fred Jackson's brother, Patrick will be there. A chance for you to tee off and start hitting Fred Jackson pretty hard, one of your better friends on the roster, huh?
Look, I just want to let everybody know that's listening. If you want the best time, the best laugh of your life, I suggest you be at this roast, because I can't speak for Eric and I can't speak for Fitz and Patrick, but you know your boy comes with it, with all jokes and all types of entertainment. So I suggest you guys who are able to go to the roast to make your way there, and I would love to meet and talk to everybody that's there when I get a chance.
The next chapter of your life, you could be a stand-up comedian. Maybe this is your debut, Aaron.
I think I'm going to let Kevin Hart and Dave Chappelle, those guys, handle that for a while. I got some work on that before I do any of that.
All right. Well, we will see you there in a couple of weeks. It is, as I said, on Thursday, February 15th, and you can get more details on the WGR 550 website. Aaron's coming back for the Fred Jackson roast. Aaron, congratulations on a great career. Obviously, you have a lot to think about, and you've put it all down on paper for folks to read. I would encourage anyone to go to theplayerstribune.com to read Aaron Williams' essentially open letter to the fans of Buffalo called To Buffalo. Thanks for this, Aaron. Good luck to you.
Hey, John, real quick, man. You watched me grow up. You watched me since I was a rookie. And I've watched you since you started your show, man. I want to say I'm very, very proud of where you came and how far you accomplished, man, from your show to what you've been doing with the Bills. And you continue to do a great job for them and broadcasting out, you know, the great games, man, because you do a hell of a job.
Thanks, Aaron. That's nice. Thank you very much.
Absolutely, man. You'll have a good one.
We'll see you in a couple weeks. Aaron Williams coming in for the Fred Jackson roast. But you really got to read this, theplayerstribune.com, To Buffalo by Aaron Williams, his open letter, which he starts with an apology to the fans of Buffalo. I don't know. I'm glad he did it, and he explains why, but I don't even know if that was necessary. He left so many fans here with the good taste in his mouth that he went back to his first 2 years. I don't know if that was necessary.
I mean, that's one of his regrets. And as a player, I think, especially when you're a player, who he was born in California, raised in Texas, and then you get drafted to Buffalo, and your initial thought, and we always talk about this, literally you're like, Buffalo? Well, I don't know what's in Buffalo. So you might have some sort of
bias or preconceived
preconceived notion towards going to that city. And when you get there, and especially when you live down here in the South Towns, you're like, man, all right, I'm a go in, do my work, probably won't end up going out or seeing the city or any of that stuff. And that's all you do. And then in the off season, you get back home to Texas, where he's from, where, you know, that's where he's used to. And it might take you a couple of years before you truly embrace the city. And I'm sure there are many players that have come in here, have been drafted here, who have felt the same way.
Yeah, and in Aaron's case, again, apologizing, which I think was unnecessary. I guess I'm glad he did it. But by the time he began to embrace the city and embrace the fans, his career was cut short. And he talks about that, too, in this article about the hit from Jarvis Landry that essentially ended his career. Says he's not happy about it. I don't blame him. It was bad.
Yeah, I wouldn't be happy about it either. Yeah. I wouldn't even know, because Aaron, he played in the league. He was a very good player in the league. He might cross paths with Jarvis Landry one day, and I don't even know how that
would go.
That would go.
Yeah. We've got Steve Tasker hanging out at the Super Bowl City in Minneapolis, Minnesota for Super Bowl 52. And Steve had a chance to sit down today with an interesting character who did not have much of a career. Now he's 41 years old. Ryan Leaf, second overall pick in the NFL draft in 1998 by the San Diego Chargers, bounced around from the Chargers to the Bucks to the Cowboys to the Seahawks with an incredible story to tell, got in trouble with the law, troubles involving drugs, and he sat down with Steve Tasker out at the Super Bowl earlier today. Steve Tasker with Ryan Leaf.
Thanks, guys. Ryan, let's get started. Tell me about your week here in Minneapolis. it's wild. I mean, these Super
it
Bowls.
Is wild, and you've been a part of these Radio Rows before, and yeah. I mean, it's neat because it's Middle America and we're in the Mall of America and stuff like that. But come Thursday and Friday, this is going to be difficult for people to get around, and it's very, very tight space here.
Yeah, tell me about what you're doing now. What's you're working, doing some broadcast work, doing some college football, evaluating talent coming out, quarterbacks especially.
Yeah, working with Fox Sports and SiriusXM, doing some college football analysis and some NFL analysis, especially with the draft and things like that nature. Right. But you know, my foundation's built around helping people in recovery. You know, helping people with substance abuse and mental health issues because it was so close to my heart, and so that's the foundation and. What making that first, that allows those other things to be in my life.
Well, tell me, how difficult was it to come clean and start confessing and, you know, kind of getting that stuff off of your chest, and how much did it help you?
Well, it helps tremendously, all right? It's difficult at first to be transparent because we live in a culture where you don't like to expose those weaknesses, and it's detrimental to people's lives, it is. Mm-hmm. So it's important that it's your truth, and it's okay no matter what you've been through or what you did in the past. I mean, I'm a drug addict and I'm a convicted felon, and that has not hampered me in any way because I simply know who I am in this moment. And when I stand in front of somebody offering me a job or me interviewing for a job, I can tell them honestly, you know, what I've been through, and that's okay.
Yeah. And this is your foundation. Do people contact you? Do you reach out? Do you have location? I mean, how does it work?
We do a little of both, okay? So Transcend Recovery Community is the company that I'm the program ambassador for, and we're located in Los Angeles, Houston, and New York, and we are a recovery community that's based in sober living environments for people who deal with mental health issues and substance abuse. And then my foundation is called the Focused Intensity Foundation, and that's where we raise the money for scholarships to send people to treatment who can't afford it. And so they're different because one's the actual apparatus where you go and get the help, where my foundation is set aside, where we deal with people who are struggling at the time and want to get them into treatment, and we need donations for that.
Yeah, that's great.
Thanks.
Tell me a little bit about this week. Now, you've seen these two teams in the game, and the Eagles and the Patriots, and it's all everything boils down to these last two teams. Everybody wants predictions and stuff. What's your take on you know, this week, and how do you analyze these games?
Well, I think from top to bottom, Philadelphia is the better football team. Just defensively, personnel-wise, but I just, you know, I can't make myself bet against Bill Belichick and Tom Brady. A, they've done this before and they continue to do it. B, they're not playing the New York Giants, which seems to be their kryptonite when it comes to this game. So I think it's going to be a very good football game. I have New England winning, of course, 28, Philadelphia 27.
Yeah. Now, when you come through this and you look at the quarterbacks here, and you know, talk a little bit about Nick Foles. I mean, it's a guy who was contemplating retirement.
Right.
And came back in and said, all right, I'll give it another shot. And there's no question, and you've been hanging around, I've seen all the media interviews with the Eagles. They really seem to have a close-knit vibe, kind of this little group, you know, aura around their team, a feel-good aura about each other and about their space and about where they're at. And Nick Foles just kind of stepped into it, and now they love him too. I mean, just like they love Carson Wentz. I mean, tell me about what he's going through.
Well, if you performed like you did, like he did in the NFC Championship.
Yeah, against the Vikings,
You'd like him too. And what I saw in that football game is Doug Peterson, you know, took what Nick does best. I think that game plan looked very similar to what Nick did in 2013 under Chip Kelly. There was a lot of RPO, run-pass options that allowed him to throw the football ball down the field. The year he was an All-Pro, 27 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, and where he felt comfortable. And Doug, instead of trying to impose his will of his offense on Nick, he adapted and allowed them to do what he does best, and it came out in flying colors the way he performed.
How much often do you see that? Because we all talk about it. It seems easy to, you know, jamokes like me sitting out here in Radio Row. Why do coaches struggle putting offensive schemes in that fit their players?
I have no idea.
And
there's pride, maybe, or there's the old school thing of like, I will impose my will on them because my way works. I've been here much longer than you, kid.
Right.
And we saw that with Jeff Fisher and Jared Goff, I think. And you watch Coach McVay come in and go, you know, I'm going to do what I feel, you know, leads to Jared's attributes,
which is
what you should do. So sometimes it's tough to see that happen, and was really happy to see Coach Peterson do that. And there's a big reason why they're in the championship right now. Yeah.
Talk a little bit about the guys coming out in this draft. You've heard, you know, the names: Josh Allen, Rosen, Darnold, and others.
Baker Mayfield.
Baker Mayfield, yep. And the kid from Oklahoma State,
Mason Rudolph.
What are your thoughts on some? Do you have any special? Are you familiar with them?
Yeah,
I mean, talk
for
about
sure.
Them.
I spent time, of course. I live in Los Angeles, so I saw Josh and right. Sam up close and personal. Josh Rosen is the most fundamentally sound quarterback coming into this draft, but he's been awfully injured, concussions, injuries to his body. So I'm a little hesitant with that. Sam Darnold turned the ball over a ton this year, the most turnovers by a quarterback. Josh Allen haven't seen enough of because of him playing at Wyoming. The two games I really did see of him was against Oregon and Iowa, where he played very poorly. So I'm looking forward to not only watching film on him, but I also been asked by the NFL to be a mentor for the incoming quarterback class at the Combine.
Right.
So I get to go and do that, and I'll get to see them firsthand and really see them on the football field and have a better idea of what's about to happen here in the next few months.
Yeah. Okay. One last thing before we go. When we got over here, we remember in 20 years ago.
Yeah.
20 years ago, your first game as a San Diego Charger right after you got drafted. You tweeted out today that somebody had Darnold going ahead of Rosen or Rosen going ahead of everybody, and you said, hey, listen, they had me going ahead of Peyton Manning, too, when he was drafted. Your first game as a Charger was my first game as an analyst in the booth for CBS.
You've been doing this for 20 years?
Yeah. And you remember, and we were talking, all four quarterbacks played in that game. You lost one series because, you got sacked.
Something
happened. So all four quarters, and that began not only your run in San Diego, but the run in Buffalo with Doug Flutie
and the Rob Johnson,
That happened. And that was a game. That's one of the few games I've ever seen where all four quarterbacks played. What do you remember about that? Anything?
I remember that it was much different than the preseason. They had game planned against what we were doing. It was more difficult. But I also understood that, you know, as long as you can stay within 3 points or you can stay, close enough, which we did, and we were able to win on a field goal in the last few seconds and get our first victory. My first victory as a starter in the NFL was pretty special. And against, against a couple great quarterbacks, too. I don't have many wins in the NFL, but the quarterbacks I did beat are pretty good ones.
Yeah. Are you going to stick around for the game all week? A lot of people, and us included, once you kind of wind up the Radio Row thing for the week, a lot of people the media takes off and they go back and watch the game.
We put on an event that we started last year in Houston called the Sober Bowl. So it's a Super Bowl party where we have entertainment, comedians, and then we have a broadcast of the game on a huge screen for the fans who can't afford Super Bowl tickets here in Minneapolis, but all in a sober environment we are going to be the least liability party on the market that day.
We had your boy Craig Gass on yesterday. He's going to be there, right?
Yeah, Craig is a headliner. For us, he's going to be the MC and do a stint of his comedy. He's hilarious. He's a really close friend of mine.
Yeah.
I'm glad he's a part of it this year.
Yeah. All right. Hey, Ryan, thanks for coming, and we're going to send it back to Murph in the studio. Thanks, guys.
All right. Steve Tasker and Ryan Leaf, brief 3-4 year career in the NFL, second overall pick, regarded, you got to say it, regarded as one of the all-time busts.
Oh,
but apparently he's found his way, which is encouraging to see.
That's good. That's good. It's always, he was at a low.
Yeah.
If those of you who remember him and the whole, every time you think of Ryan Leaf, you think about that outburst in the locker room.
Yeah.
It was bad. And he was definitely at a low, as he talked about him being on drugs and, addicted to drugs and alcohol and all that stuff. So for him to be able to bounce back and see that he's still doing work with the NFL, doing work with college players and all of that stuff, is great to see stories like that, because we all in life go through ups and downs, and you got to be able to bounce back.
Always about the quarterbacks. It was back when Ryan Leaf came out in 98. It is now around the NFL and for the Buffalo Bills. Our Twitter poll today deals with the changing nature of the quarterback landscape. Alex Smith off the market, traded last night. Alex Smith goes to Washington. So now, with Alex Smith off the market, who do you want to see as the Bills quarterback next year? Taking your thoughts on Twitter and also your thoughts on the telephone line. 46% of you say Bills should get a draft pick to be the quarterback next year. 27% say Kirk Cousins, now that he'll come free. 15% say another free agent. 12% say Tyrod Taylor. Got a few minutes left to get your thoughts on that at 803-0550 and toll free 1-888-550-2550. I want to hear what Steve Tasker says about that.
All right.
We're gonna go back to Steve in just a couple of minutes here. We'll take a break. We'll come back. Steve Tasker will rejoin us from the Mall of America, Radio Row in Minnesota at the Super Bowl. Steve Tasker, when we return on the John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
You know what, Donald? In spite of ourselves, I think we've had, and it's not over yet, but I think we've had a pretty decent show here when you
in
think of all
of
the
ourselves.
In spite of me. No, if you think about it, Aaron Williams was great. Ryan Groy was great. The guys out in Minnesota are killing it with some of their guests.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Steve is. Jay, not so much.
Jay, not so much. Steve Tasker is covering the Super Bowl for us, Super Bowl 52. His producer is Jay Harris, and we're wondering how much he's been able to contribute. But let's go back live now out to Minnesota, the Mall of America in Bloomington, Minnesota, where Steve Tasker is standing by. Donald just threw your producer under the bus here, Steve. You going to defend him or no?
I saw it. I heard it. Well, you guys are killing us, man. Jay here is breaking rocks with a hammer, working hard, and you guys are belittling his efforts. It is crazy here, no question about it. It's been fun, and I hope it's been good for the show. I don't know what it's looked like. We don't have a monitor. I don't know what we look like back there, but it's been busy, and we've got, you know, as I'm looking here, we got people moving all over the place right around us. It's really disconcerting to be doing television like this, but radio, we're kind of used to it. But it has been fun. I hope the interviews have been good.
Been great. What's difficult for what the people on radio are missing is the guy behind you eating some nasty looking burrito right now. The folks on TV are getting a look at it.
It looks nasty on TV. It actually looks pretty good to me. I got to be honest with you.
You must just be hungry, Steve. You must be hungry. Now, what's it like? I mean, we're sitting here watching the interviews that you're doing out there. But when we're talking here, are you just walking around talking to different people that you might have played with, played against, different people you work with over the years?
Yeah, some. I mean, you say hi to a lot of people. A lot of people at this point now, for me, you might imagine, I know a lot of people in the media more than I know players.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, when we had Ike Reese on, I knew Ike. I'm acquainted with Ike. And, you know, Mike Haynes, we have mutual friends, all, you know, James Lofton and Thurman Thomas, Bruce Smith, and all the other Hall of Famers that I played with are friends with Mike Haynes. So there are some things like that going on. But really, for me, I spend some time in the media room, which is a huge working room with rows and rows of table, and all these guys are typing away. I spend time down there, and I always see people I know down there from the broadcast industry. So at this point, it's kind of what it is here. It's a kind of a social gathering for the guys who cover the NFL and who maybe once played like me. To touch base. But for the active guys and some of the, you know, anybody who's active in the league now walks through here, they're here for a reason. They're supposed to be on interviews and stuff like the guys we had on today. But it is fun. It is nice, and it's good to be at the center of everything where the league is and see how things are working. You hear the stories and about all the nuances that people are trying to read into between the lines of what's going on with the Patriots, what's going on with the Eagles. There's just so much information flying around constantly in interviews and guys coming in. It's really hard to stay on top of it. Sometimes you just kind of sit down and put your head down and rest for a minute, you know.
Nap time. Hey, Steve, one of the big stories in the league today was last night's announcement of the trade, Alex Smith going from Kansas City to Washington, which has implications for the Bills, obviously. Kirk Cousins likely to come free in the free agent market. There's those quarterbacks in Minnesota. Who knows where that's going to wind up. The Bills have plenty of draft capital to work with. We've been asking fans today, listeners, which is the best, now that Alex Smith is off the table, which is the best course of action for the Bills to pursue, and offering a couple of suggestions. Do they keep Tyrod Taylor and move forward? Do they use the draft picks and get a premium level quarterback in the draft? Do they go after Kirk Cousins? Do they wait for another free agent? What's your sense of where this might go? It's very early in the process, but your sense of what might be the best course of action?
I voted for him to take another free agent. I think there's too many guys out there. And I think we've seen here in the last – and we've talked about this when I was actually in Buffalo and we were on the show – about the fact that these teams are winning games and getting in the playoff and putting themselves in contention without a franchise quarterback or without an elite quarterback like a Tom Brady or a Carson Wentz. It's because what happens is, and we spoke about it, you get an elite quarterback, you go out and pay the money for an Aaron Rodgers, or you pay the money for a Ben Roethlisberger, or you pay the money – for Phillip Rivers or Drew Brees if he comes off, which he won't. But, you know, if you get an elite quarterback like that, the guys always, they always make this case of these guys about saying, hey, he brings them back in the fourth quarter. You know, he's a great fourth quarter comeback. You know, they wouldn't have won it without him. Well, the simple fact of the matter is, if you get an elite quarterback, he better be good, because the rest of your roster will not be able – you won't be able to buy a good enough roster to support that guy. So he's got to be very good. And if something happens to him, if he tweaks an ankle or something, you've got a bad football team because they don't have that guy to bail you out. Look at the Green Bay Packers this year. They just don't have the cap space available to buy a full, complete roster. They can't put an elite defense on the field if you've got an elite quarterback, unless it happens by happenstance. Look at the Philadelphia Eagles. They were able to do it with an MVP at quarterback, but he's on his rookie deal. So when you start going out and buying these, getting an elite quarterback off the free agent market, you know, you're going to pay through the nose, but then the rest of your roster is going to suffer for. We've seen teams that just can't make up for that. And you see teams like New England. They've done it for years. Tom Brady could have broken the bank four times over in his career and didn't. And the club and the Patriots are better for it. They spend their money elsewhere around the roster, and they put a team around him. And that's kind of Tom Brady being unselfish in that regard for his team. And you see other teams who have done it with – Like we said, with Carson Wentz, who they can build a nice roster around him because he's still on his rookie deal. So, for me, I think the Bills, it would be great if they could trade up and get a rookie quarterback if he's the guy. But I also think getting a middle-of-the-road quarterback, even like a Tyrod Taylor, who, you know, he's making $15 million last year, and it sounds like a ton of money, and it is, but not in the marketplace of the NFL. So you can buy a good defense like the Bills did. You can buy a playoff-caliber roster, and with some horse trading, get the kind of guys you want, and the Bills just did just that. So I look, for me, and I don't want, I'm prattling on here, but I think the Bills, we're going to see a lot more of what we saw last draft. I think they're going to horse trade. I think they're going to trade picks, players, get players and picks in return. And that, to me, is kind of an exciting thing to be for the a place to be for the Buffalo Bills.
You talk about, it sounds like you made a little case for keeping Tyrod Taylor here. But
yeah, time everybody says get a quarterback like Tyrod Taylor, I'm thinking Tyrod Taylor's here. Now, I'm not advocating that they
it has to be hard though, because you're sitting with Tyrod Taylor and you look out there and you do have to ask yourself, I mean, there are other guys out there, but which one of these guys is truly better than Tyrod Taylor? You have guys that you could say, well, he would improve, like a Sam Bradford, he would improve your passing game, or Kirk Cousins, he would improve your passing game. But Sam Bradford, will he be healthy? Kirk Cousins, do you got to pay him $26, $27 million a year? How will that hurt your team? So then you say to yourself, well, maybe we should just sit here and keep Tyrod Taylor and possibly not even try to get all the way up into the top 10, but sit here and maybe draft one of these kids where we are at 2021.
Right. I agree. I mean, that's the big question. And you know, what you're really trying to do, let's face it, you're trying to find Case Keenum, a guy who you get cheap, and then all of a sudden carries you to 14-2 unexpectedly. That's where you get your value. That you got to have a guy at that position. If you're going to go that middle-of-the-road quarterback, you got to have a guy who outperforms his contract. And if you can do that, everything else will fall into place. If you can get a Case Keenum, who is a backup quarterback to Sam Bradford and all those, and you know, Teddy Bridgewater, and that's the problem for the Vikes. They got three of those guys, and they're all the contracts are all up. And if you can get a Case Keenum, who is just a guy – let's face it, he was just a guy, and all of a sudden they're 14-2 with him at quarterback. That was big.
Yeah.
And if you can, and that's what it's all about. If you can find that guy that overperforms that contract and you can put the right roster around him and on the other side of the football, you can get to the Super Bowl or at least to the championship round of the playoffs and contend for a Super Bowl.
You know, it's amazing because we always talk about the quarterback position and how important it is to have a franchise quarterback. But we always forget that this is the ultimate team sport, and you got to have a full team around you to be able to win on a consistent basis, you know. So the goal is to be able to get these guys, like you're saying right now, that you don't have to pay top dollar so that you can fill out the rest of your roster as well.
Hey, Steve, before
that's
we
right.
let you go,
I mean, you can,
I'm sorry.
Go ahead. No, go ahead. Before we let you go,
I want to let the viewers and listeners know that there's been a Kirk Cousins sighting there on Radio Row. In fact, Adam Schefter sent out a tweet with Kirk Cousins at the Shake Shack outside Radio Row. It says, a man of the people, yeah. Kirk Cousins waiting in line at Shake Shack. So that's what...
Shake Shack's right here, so he's around here somewhere.
That's what two straight years of franchise quarterback will get you, is apparently a meal at the Shake Shack.
Well, listen, he was here yesterday. Can you imagine him being on Radio Row when that story hit?
Yeah.
I mean, it would have been an impromptu press conference right away. I mean, he is walking around, and he's on the hot seat. I mean, he's not going to be in Washington now. Everybody knows that.
Yeah.
He's going to be someplace else. He's going to hit that market. Now, it's interesting. Washington thinks Alex Smith is a much better quarterback than
Kirk Cousins.
So you got to think that, you know, there's something there. I mean, Kirk Cousins has thrown for 4,500 yards. I mean, the guy's had some nice statistical years, but the team's not winning, and there's got to be a reason for that. And there's no question he does have some limitations, and what those limitations are, sometimes you don't know until you get the guy signed and you're paying him, and then it's too late. So there is, you know, I don't think Kirk Cousins is going to break the bank like he would have if they'd have franchised him, but he's going to make a good buck, and somebody needs him, I think it's going to be a very interesting quarterback market this offseason with the guys coming out in the draft. A lot of teams like Cleveland and Buffalo with a lot of draft capital to spend and to trade and who need a quarterback. And the fact that this trade already happened before they're even allowed to trade, I think it's going to be wild and fast moving at times this offseason for the quarterback market, both in Buffalo and Cleveland and anywhere else you can name. So I think it's going to be fun to watch.
I do, too. Hey, Steve, you're halfway through your Super Bowl coverage, 2 days down, two to go, and I've seen we're kidding about Jay Harris. He's put together a pretty good lineup. It's like a Bills alumni day for you on the show tomorrow there at the Super Bowl, huh?
Yeah, that's right. Jim Kelly, Taquio Spikes is coming in. Lorenzo Alexander is going to stop by, and I think we're going to try and get Kevin Harlan is the voice of Westwood One Radio on, and also CBS. The NFL on CBS, one of my colleagues. I've worked with him on radio as well. You may not, when he sits down here next to me tomorrow, if Kevin does show up, you won't maybe not recognize his face, but when you hear his voice, you will know who he is.
Yeah.
Kevin Harlan's got one of the iconic voices in broadcasting at this point, and he's going to try and stop by tomorrow as well. So it'll be a good show tomorrow.
That'll be great. Good work. Thanks, Steve. Thanks for being with us here today.
All right, guys.
Steve Tasker covering the Super Bowl for us with our producer, Jay Harris, out in you really got a cheap shot at Jay, by the way.
Always.
Man.
You got to get one in there.
You do have to deal with him when he returns.
It's all good. Jay knows. He knows. I'll probably get a text message in the next 10 minutes, something like that. But Jay does a good job, man. He's out there
hustling.
He's
little
hustling.
Feet running around the mall. We're back in a moment. The John Murphy Show from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Is the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
And now, what have we learned from today's show?
What have we learned? Presented by Advanced Alarm, providing Western New York's homes and businesses with the finest in security and home theater. The preferred alarm and home theater provider of the Buffalo Bills. We had Aaron Williams on the show earlier this hour, who formally, officially announced his retirement in a post on the Players Tribune website. And we talked with Aaron about that announcement and about his Bills career.
Well, there's a lot of emotion going on through the whole process of writing this article. I wanted to sit down and actually take time and evaluate everything that happened through the last 6 years in Buffalo. And I try not to miss everybody that was important to me, that got me to the journey where I'm at today. And hopefully I got everybody that, you know, feels like they were a part of it. If not, you know, I'm telling you guys now, thank you guys so much, City of Buffalo. John, even you, man. Donald, even you when you were playing. I appreciate you guys, everything you've done. John, always allow me to be on your show and allow him to express my opinions and everything. So, it was hard, but at the same time, it comes time where every athlete has a time clock, and unfortunately, mine just happened to be today. So, it's part of it, and just got to move on from it.
Aaron Williams announcing his retirement. I suggest you take a look at that post on the Players Tribune. He writes an open letter to Bills fans. Also today, we talk with Ryan Groy, Bills offensive lineman, who started 7 games at center a couple of seasons ago in place of Eric Wood, likely to be at least the first crack at getting to replace Eric Wood on the roster now. Ryan Groy joined us on the telephone line to talk about that and to talk about Eric Wood and what he meant to his career.
It just shows, you know, what kind of guy he is and, you know, what he did for, you know, not only the people on the team that he was with, that he's with now, but, you know, the guys that he played with before. You know, he obviously has a huge impact, you know, on and off the field, and, you know, it was awesome, the support. He's done so much for me as far as, you know, not only being a great friend, but, you know, a mentor, and he's helped me so much along the way, and, you know, I had to show my support, and, you know, in my way, it was my point of view is, you know, a great way to thank him for what he's done and, you know, help him out, you know, however I could.
Ryan Groy talking about Eric Wood. Hey, we want to remind you about a special television show coming up this weekend. Playoff Caliber, End of the Drought, presented by Connors and Ferris. Going to air on Channel 7, WKBW-TV in Buffalo this Friday night at 7 o'clock, and again on Saturday at 11:30 p.m. Playoff caliber, the end of the drought, presented by Connors and Ferris, coming up on Channel 7 this weekend. Hey, Donald, we never got a chance to talk about Fox taking over Thursday Night Football for five more seasons. You and I were talking before the show. How about, who cares, really? The game is the game. The important thing is the new deal will mean an average of more than $60 million that Fox will pay the NFL. After last year, the league was paid $45 million. So where are all those people who say that football's dying on TV?
Right. That's the biggest thing. I mean, everybody's saying, especially the Thursday night ratings.
Yeah.
Everybody talks about, when you talk about the ratings, you immediately go to, well, Thursday night ratings are down year over year, and Fox is over here paying more. It's like 30%
more. Significantly more. Yes, yeah, 30% exactly. More. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, so much for that narrative, I guess. And there's just no end in sight for football in terms of the appetite for, that the American public has.
It's grown.
Which is good for us.
It is.
And we'll be back tomorrow, too. I want to thank our presenting sponsor, Napa Auto Parts. Find your local Napa store online at NapaOnline.com. Production assistants, J.J. Torito, George Blass, Jeff Koltnick, Thomas Honnoder, our producer, Jay Harris. Thanks to Steve Tasker. Thanks to Donald. A good show tomorrow. More of Steve Tasker from the Super Bowl tomorrow. The John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts, from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.